It's that time again. Yeah. Ya la hora. You know, power hour. Ponle atención. Class is in session. Tune in for an hour, maybe more. That's a blessing. Learn from the captains and the leadership. Flee from religion, cause some churches never teaching shit. Everything you learn for your benefit. Line upon line is a requisite. Never take a deficit. Yeah, that means you take a loss if you stray from the way. You get the understanding if you study every day. Apply what you learn and bless when you pray. It's one interpretation, man, it say what it say. Ya viene el tiempo, entra para el templo, aprende del maestro con talento, la Biblia es el centro, usando a Israel como instrumento, no te pierdas en doctrina como viento, estudia y ora y aplica, tiempo para Dios, ven, hace una cita, escritura dinamita, morenos y hispanos y israelitas, oye cómo explica, Israel unido en Cristo para la vida, nunca se divida. Tune in, it's the power hour, learn your family history, don't be a coward, yeah. Tune in, it's the power hour. I said learn your family history, don't be a coward.
Yeah, history is the word. It's the power hour. The 11 hours. Tune in to your history. You know it ain't no mystery. Power hour. The 11 hours. You don't know your true history. 11 hours.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour Plus Edition. I'm Captain Yahshua.
Hey, shalom, Officer Nehemiah.
Shalom, Most High Christ. Blessed Soldier Eric.
Soldier Eric in the house again.
That's right.
we trying to get some That's other soldiers right. some burn, man, but they all tapped out. They all tapped out. So, Eric said, I'm ready.
Always ready.
He said, I'm ready.
We'll be in the game.
Put me in, coach. Yeah. You know I've been holding it down. Yeah, there you go.
I got one three-pointer left.
Yeah. I'm here posting some stuff. Y'all talk a little bit while I do this. Don't do me like last time the two of you were together.
I know, right?
You especially.
Damn,
you,
right? See, I get the blame. I'll take the blame. It's all good.
You see anything crazy going on in the news this week with Israel?
Nah, not well. What's that video? I watched this video with this sister, man. That she was on Zoom, and they was coming up with their like team name or whatever.
Oh yeah,
you saw that?
I didn't see it. I heard
bro,
it.
Bro, and
that porch monkey.
Yeah.
Also, Nehemiah, speaking like, the mic, sir.
You can hear me?
Yeah.
Oh my bad.
Lift it up to your mouth.
All right, let me lift it up real quick. All right, so they was talking about the team name or whatever on Zoom. And he was like, we should name it the Porch Monkeys. And like all Esau, which is the Caucasian race,
Bruh.
According to the Bible, they was talking about like, yo, we good with that. And the sister was just in shock. Just
right.
like, bro, are y'all
right.
seriously going to really do this and name the team the Porch Monkeys? Bro, it's like, bro, Esau's the damn devil. The Bible
Straight
speaks
up,
bro.
Man, that's crazy.
Bro, it's crazy. But this time of the year, man, is just like from like November the 15th mm-hmm. to like January the 15th. For me, it's just like... Bruh, I just don't like this time of year. You got to hear the.
Oh, I'm with bruh. You. I'm with you. I'm all the way with you on that, man.
Bruh.
Now I think it starts right around Halloween, man.
Bruh.
Like from then on, bro, it's just all types of spirits, bro.
I know, Cap. You'd be shocked at how many times I gotta say, "Hey, I'm sorry, man. I don't celebrate." Yeah,
oh,
I don't
man.
Celebrate.
Yeah, I gave up on that stuff, yeah. man. They'll say it, and I'll be like, "Thank you."
So just say thank you?
Yeah. And I just don't return it.
Right.
I'm just like, thank you.
Right.
You
bro.
Because I hear it so much.
Yeah, just thank you.
Yeah.
That's it.
Hell
gotcha.
No.
Yeah, that's it. Gotcha. That should be like, thank you.
Bruh.
Yeah.
It's the fact.
Because I could be thank you for whatever, right?
Right.
For me, I'm thinking thank you for reminding me
right,
of the
right.
evils in the earth.
Right, bro.
That's right.
They say,
you know?
They say Merry Christmas. I'm like, no, I don't celebrate. They say, well, happy holidays.
Yeah, but they find a way to ram it down your throat, huh? Right, they just
bro.
they gonna get you.
Nah, that's what you was going. That's that Americanism piece. Right?
Yeah, that sure
pride,
is, bro. That
pride,
sure
pride,
is.
Man.
Bro, I'm just like, man, with that whole and then the family thing. It's like, bro, I've been in this thing for a little bit, maybe not as long as Cap, but it's like, bro, I've been in this for like you know over 6 years. So it's like y'all still coming with the trying to add me to. Group text and bro, it's like, come on, stop.
Yeah, huh?
Come on, just stop it, man.
Come
it's like
on,
one of the
man.
Easiest doctrines.
Right.
You could just ask them, show me Christ's birthday is in the Bible. And it's just like,
right.
Bruh, so.
Man, I don't know if you've listened to Clubhouse, man, but if you listen to that thing, especially, I don't know, last week, you've seen how, what's the word I'm looking for? Not out of order, but like how destroyed our people are, bro. With the whole Christmas thing, man, that thing is.
Damn, I wanted to. There was something I wanted to post. I forgot about, after the fact. I was gonna tell them to get on with it, but yeah, man, the Christmas thing is, you know, they're a little more subdued with New Year's, but they heavy on that Christmas stuff, man. Oh, yeah. You know, man. Yeah.
They gonna come with the New Year's stuff too, though. You know, brothers and sisters gonna come with the resolution, or whatever, that type of thing, bro.
So. Yeah, bro, it's been just so many years with that. We're just trying to tell them I don't celebrate and all this other stuff, man. So I just say, thank you, keep it moving, you know. That's usually it.
I picked up.
You know, they look at me a little funny because it's like, aren't you going to say it back?
Right.
Type of deal, but I don't do it.
It's like when somebody tells me, yeah, it's my birthday today. I'll be like, oh, yeah, that's cool.
That's right.
You know what I tell them this one on that one. I'm like, wow, good for you.
Right.
I was like, yeah, that's cool.
Like, good for you. Good for you. Why are you not more excited?
Right.
Like, wait, did you not get enough attention as a kid that you got to tell your freaking driver, like, hey, it's my birthday today?
Right. They just waiting for you to say it.
Yeah, they probably went to the cashier at the store. Hey, it's my birthday today.
No, they do that thing, bro. I've been hearing about these brothers and sisters be talking about it's their birthday month and all that. Just mad idolatry, bro.
Birthday month.
Back in the world, bro, I used to hear that all the time. It was my birthday month. Like, bro, that's mad.
I used to hear birthday week. I never heard birthday month.
Month, bro. Month.
I've heard birthday week. Damn, they rolling it to a month now.
Yeah, right. Every 16th is their birthday. That's crazy, bro.
Yeah. Hey, that was like what you read in the Maccabees where it would compel monthly to celebrate.
Right.
I ain't going to do once a year.
Right.
Every month, this was the day that I was born.
Right.
That's it.
Y'all celebrate it.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah, man. That thing is wild out there. Yo, and I just noticed like the spirits are different too. Like it's just more aggressive and, you know, it's rough out there.
It is.
Yeah,
it can be.
I was just waiting a little bit to see if we get more people joining in. I mean, last week I don't know. I see 91 watching on YouTube. I mean, you know, they come in like by mid radio show.
Yeah,
they increase little by little. Yeah, I was like, damn. Yeah, last week's show. I know everybody was really into that. All praise to the Most High. We were talking about that off the air before we went in there. A lot of good engagement on that one. So, you know, so we're going to jump in. You know, I know everybody was like, oh, come on, hit a part two. And I probably had enough for like maybe an hour more.
Okay.
Maybe I'll circle back on it. I don't know. I'll see how it goes. I don't know. Sometimes it's just, you know, that's why it's like the power hours. Like you're going to get it and you're going to get it in that time frame.
Right,
and then you know. Yeah. I mean, sometimes we stay on. Sometimes we stay on topic. Hey, and then I was hearing after the fact that like, I don't know if it was y'all in the producer booth. Y'all been doing really good. I don't want to mess with y'all, but they were like that. It kept like it would repeat, like it would go back a few seconds. Yeah. So they kept hearing like the same thing over like a couple
reverb
of times.
Reverb or something.
Yeah, yeah. So it was like in the Matrix, like the good one, not the one that just came out.
That thing was no good.
You can mix a
bro, there was some stuff in it that I could say, like, okay. But I know the intention behind it when you look at the director and stuff like that. So I don't know if you noticed the binary, right, and all this stuff. So they're talking about binary, non-binary. Mm-hmm. That's all, like, LGBTQ language. You know, and I ain't got nothing against, you know, a love story and stuff like that, but I think it was more love story.
Really?
Yeah, and I don't know, I feel like they weakened Neo.
Yeah,
I feel like
damn.
The fight scenes were less.
I felt like
he was like a little punk. Like he didn't get his full power till she wound up being powerful and stuff.
Oh,
and,
you know how that goes.
Yeah. So I don't think I'm spoiling it by saying that stuff. There's still some stuff you could look in there about. And then, you know, they should have thrown my man Lawrence Fishburne back in there too.
Oh, okay. So
you know, I mean, I like this guy that
who
this
Martin?
Actor. I forgot his name.
He's
but he's been in a lot
man,
of stuff.
Dude, right?
He was in Watchmen on HBO.
Oh.
He was Dr. Manhattan.
Okay. HBO show.
Oh, that's good, man. You got to check that out with Regina King.
Okay.
The main character in that.
From Friday?
Yeah, okay. It's pretty good. It's really, really good.
Where I see that at?
HBO Max. Who you have for your cell phone provider?
It's trash. That's what it is.
Oh,
Cricket.
Damn.
Cricket?
Yeah.
Yeah. AT&T, like, if you have certain plans, you get HBO Max for free. Yeah.
I think they offered it to me. I just bought a new phone, but
Watchmen's real good, bro. Watchmen's real. I mean, you know, they throw some homo stuff in there, but, like, emphasis on, like, you know, like the first superhero was Jake. Mm-hmm. But then they made him Mo. So, you know, they can't let us have too much.
Of course.
Damn.
But it's good. And the fact that they made Dr. Manhattan black, I thought was pretty telling, because Dr. Manhattan's supposed to be Christ.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a Christ figure, just like Superman. And, you know, in that universe, he's like the Superman of that universe.
Right.
Anyways, that guy, and he's been in some other stuff. He's pretty good. He's a good actor. Mm-hmm. Not to knock him, but Lawrence Fishburne in it, I think, would have been better.
Nobody could do Morpheus like him.
Nah, he's such a great actor, Lawrence Fishburne, though, man.
Yeah,
like,
actor,
he's phenomenal, bro. I mean, man, I've seen him in Othello, and my hair stand up now. But powerful actor. Good, I like his role. But you know, there was some good elements to it, but overall, it was kind of like, I mean, I don't know, you know, like most of the Matrixes, you kind of got to watch them again to like really catch certain things. But I think overall it was kind of trash compared to what they did the first time around. Yeah.
That's right.
It was kind of trash.
Brother said, wow, the woman is God in the Matrix now.
Yeah, well, it right. So they didn't outright make her God, but basically like he couldn't have his full potential without her.
Right.
Right. Kind of reminds me of, remember Hancock?
Yeah.
You see, as soon as he got away from white people, he was
So now, and look, I mean, you know, there's some things that you can play in that, like, you know, one flesh and, you know, a husband wife that agree together, that sort of thing. And like I said, I would say it's more of a love story more than anything else. But knowing the director, how they're transgender now and stuff.
So I was kind of wondering about that. They're not Weinstein?
The Wachowskis.
Wachowskis?
Yeah.
They're not the Wachowski brothers anymore?
No, they're the Wachowski sisters now.
What?
Yeah,
what?
I think it's Lana and something else. So, and he didn't even really, the other one didn't do it on this one. It was her.
Wow.
Yeah, well, him.
Damn.
See, they threw me in that. I said
Damn.
Lana.
And they brothers, and they both got our trash.
Yeah, so like one did it first, and then like a few years later, the other one did it too.
That's some crazy stuff, bro.
Eat the mites, man. Telling you.
This is the parents, man.
Yeah.
You got two sons, and then now they both
daughters. Isaac said, with Spider-Man spirit. I didn't see Spider-Man, so I don't know. I mean,
I'm going to watch the Matrix.
I saw a Sing 2. I took the kids to see Sing 2.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Was it good?
Bruh.
I like it. I like the first one a lot, too. Yeah, you know, just the music and everything like that. It was good. I thought it was good.
Okay.
Yeah, you know.
Come on,
them kids movies, man. They be pulling you in, man. Hey, I tell you, what's the one... The only part is that it talks about the Day of the Dead, but it's on point with, like, the family stuff, man. That thing had me – I was, like, tearing up in the theater, man.
I know what you're talking about.
The one that Eliezer will be singing with his daughter, Un Poco Loco.
Yeah, yeah.
What the hell was the name of that one, man? With the it was all Issachar, and it was, like, about the Day of the Dead. Shia, you know. Stop fronting, man.
I'm trying to remember.
Dude, that thing had me at the theater, like, a little teary-eyed. Yeah.
I think it's that thing.
Yeah.
I can't think of it. Didn't he play there for movie night?
I think he did do it for
Coco.
Movie night.
Coco.
That's it. Yeah. So, sorry to let me. Hey, that thing was pretty good, bro. Yeah. That thing.
That's a good one.
I was in the movie theater like sniffling. My daughter was like, "You crying, Daddy?" I said, "No, I'm not."
Hey, they came out with an Astro one, and I didn't.
That's the one that's out now, right? Encanto.
Right.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Me neither.
You
Looks
know what?
Good.
But they shoehorn all this agenda into a lot of this stuff now, man. You know, so it's like kind of it's a little wild out there. So. Oh, someone said the movie Matrix 4 is actually about Southern King and Northern King. I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe.
I like the first one.
Come on, man.
Yeah, the first one was super spiritual. Then they got a little less and less as it went along. I mean, it's about duality and all this other stuff. And like I said, knowing the director, and like he was giving an interview, and you know, he was talking about how like basically everything he had been to going through his transgender thing that he felt he really had to do this movie. So he basically took an IP. That was IP, meaning intellectual property. He took an IP that was very popular, that he knew would get eyeballs on it just because of how dynamic it was when it first. Because remember, when that first Matrix movie came out, it was on the low.
Yeah.
Keanu Reeves was kind of
right?
Bill and Ted, you know, was kind of like, yeah, this guy's trash.
Right.
And actually, when you look like in the celebrity stuff, they talk about how Will Smith was supposed to play.
Oh right, I've heard
Neo.
That
yeah, I remember that.
And they couldn't get him because he wanted to do Wild Wild West.
Damn.
So they went with Keanu Reeves, and that thing just changed the game for him. Right. Like after that, he started doing a lot of movies and whatever, and he became very exclusive. That's how he got like wealthy off all the Matrixes and stuff. But that first one was low key. It was like, you know, I remember going to see that in Bay Plaza in the Bronx, and it was like, nobody really knew about it. Didn't even have a big advertising budget, but it sounded real interesting to me, and I was always into sci-fi. Right. So this is the director. Do you have it up on the screen for everybody? This is the director.
Sir.
This is the Wachowskis. All right. So down in the corner, that's when they did the first three Matrixes. Right. The bigger picture.
This?
So this one didn't do it on the right with the glasses. This one exclusively directed this last one. And when you watch the interview with him, he was like getting real emotional talking about how, you know, he really wants to make this movie and stuff. So I say it's basically a propaganda film for like inclusivity and transgender and stuff like that.
It makes sense.
I know everybody loved The Matrix and they want to, you know, I know somebody posted on here. It's about Saul and another kid. I mean, you know, maybe I got to watch it again. I didn't see that. I got to watch it again. I saw clearly the transgender agenda being displayed in the book. Right. Hey, and I'll put it like this. Like, I remember Deacon and I thought I was like into movies and stuff like that. And, you know, so like we used to go, well, like, when I was living in New York, we used to go like all the time when these movies would come out and release. And we would, you know, get the scoop if it was good, spiritual, whatever.
Right.
And he was like, yo, that thing was so trash. I was like, damn, he didn't even get no credence. You know, Bishop Nathaniel didn't do no commentary on it. So I'm like, you know, that thing is just trash. Right. So, yeah, I think they kind of jacked it up a little bit. And I just felt it was just weak. Like, even the fight scenes weren't that impressive.
Right.
I mean, there were some things, you know, I was watching. I was like, oh, damn, that's a chill move. I was doing this, that.
Yeah.
But, bro, they kind of weakened Neo, bro. They watered him down, bro. Like, he didn't get his full power till like, she realized that they were supposed to be together and stuff like that. You know, and I can dig it. I can look at that sort of aspect of it, you know, but...
Nah.
From a biblical perspective.
Yeah.
I'm gonna check it out.
I heard a brother mention a movie called Don't Look Up.
I saw that. Yeah, that was pretty good.
I decided that was pretty good. I watched it with it yesterday.
I liked it.
Bro, that was like, because I'm older, bro.
Right,
and it was
I liked how
the world is, like with their phones. And
people like, you know.
The world's going to end, but
that was pretty good. Don't Look Up. I saw that.
I thought that was super. It had a lot of spiritual stuff in it as far as the truth. I thought so.
Yeah. That was, especially because it's like a dark comedy of the way people are just so. They believe anything.
It's on Netflix, right?
Whatever. It's on Netflix.
Yeah,
it was pretty good.
Hey, Cap, you know what movie was good? Yet Wicked at the same. It was good, but Wicked because they had the only Judai brother as a sodomite. Eternals. Very good movie.
Yeah, I didn't see it yet. I'm waiting until it comes out on Disney Plus.
See, y'all got to put me up on
Disney. Come on, man.
Disney Plus,
barely heard of it.
Yeah, Don't Look Up was pretty good. I did watch that.
Yeah,
Don't Look Up was pretty good. All right, so let's jump into the topic. So, we're going over, where are the strong black and Latino men? Mm-hmm. This show is kind of a setup for something that I've been wanting to do for a while. There's a, I don't want to use the word yet that we're going to bring it out. There's obviously an agenda, right? There's a movement, going on, and, a lot of it's rooted in feminism. A lot of it's rooted, I'm going to use the term zeitgeist, I've used it before. A lot of it's rooted in the cult of personality. I'm going to use that in a different aspect than what the literal definition is. But the main emphasis, and, you know, the book that I'll be referencing, I don't know what the guy, I mean, he's probably an Edomite, but he makes some good points, and it affects every man, but it was really designed to affect the so-called black and Latino men, right? Indigenous men, the Israelites, right? Because our power is in God's divine order, right? And God's divine order is, you know, a man having certain characteristics, a woman having her characteristics.
Right.
So when you disrupt that order, right, you get a little chaos, right? So here, I'm going to plug the Matrix. Kind of like in the Matrix, right, that the man and the woman had to be playing a certain role,
right,
in order for them to have power in the Matrix and do stuff, right? There you go. That's Matrix 4. this is going to be a series because the book has different chapters, and we're going to deal with how a man in today's society should act, right? Because hard times should make strong men. Mm-hmm. And we are in biblical last times, and what you're not seeing strong men anymore. Yeah. What you've seen is the devolving of men as the figurehead, as the power in the household, as that leader, as that guide, as that protector. And that's how God set it up from the beginning. And when it's not set up that way, you have disorder, you have chaos, right? You have all things being out of order. Get me that where it talks about the turning of things upside down. You know where I'm talking about? Isaiah 29:16. Let me see if I want to start somewhere else.
That's close to draw with his lips and all this.
Yeah, I got it. That's it.
Hold on. Before you read it, I just want to make sure I don't want to hit some different verses on it. Hold on. Let me get it. Isaiah 29. And you can start at 16. I might jump up. Yeah.
You ready?
Go ahead.
This is the book of Isaiah. Chapter 29 and verse 16.
Bring it out.
Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay.
You must understand, right? And sisters, this is not going to be a beat up sisters class. We will reference, this series will reference women. And as I read excerpts from the book, you'll understand in what capacity. And I encourage sisters to watch this series. Because like the author says in the book, and I'm paraphrasing it, at the very least, it'll give you a better understanding of what men want, how men are supposed to be, and not how society taught you,
right,
or your single mama or whatever. And, you know, you might have some bitter people. I might hit a chord when I say that and say, well, you know, if my papa wouldn't have left, I wouldn't have had a single mama. Listen, there's a bigger thing at play here, right?
Right?
It's the turning of things upside down, breaking up the order, right? We may touch on the Willie Lynch letter today as well. But it goes back way, way, way before that, all right? But this series is going to be for the men because the men need to man up. And we're going to break it down into how men should be concerning money and work, how men should be concerning women and family. There's a lot of things disordered and disorganized in this world.
Right.
And if not for the remnant that's here to bring things out biblically, and I'm going to use this book as a source. Now, the book talks about all men in general,
mm-hmm.
But I'm going to make some strong emphasis on obviously us, right? And the Bible is the ultimate guide onto how to be a proper man in the household. But it's always good to bring in the perspective of, like I said, the zeitgeist, and we'll pull up that definition in a moment so people who haven't heard me break that term down before will understand what I'm speaking about when I say that. But you have to understand that it's by design. It's not an accident, right? And the feminist movement is one of the major engines behind it, right? So it starts with Christianity,
right?
And then they took Christianity, and Christianity effeminized the man, okay? Then they got into politics so that they put men into this role where they can focus their energies on something where they think that they're doing good and mm-hmm. they think that they're making an impact. But what it does is it keeps – you know, the status quo going, it keeps the world going, right? And then they have other things under those two hierarchies. Those are the main two, mm-hmm. and they all fall under it, right? So feminism is largely,
right.
but it also still falls under Christianity because politics comes under Christianity. Right. So there's a turning of things upside down of what God has set in order, right? So actually, before we continue reading this, get me down to 1 Corinthians 11 and 3. All right, and then we're going to jump back here because this is one of the main things that's been turned upside down. And this is why you have weak men. And I'm going to quote Bishop Nathaniel from years ago. I had went to him on a visit in Dallas, probably like two schools ago, that we had went to their grand opening, mm-hmm. and we did a radio show out there on that Sabbath morning. And his topic was dealing with how chiefly America, but the world in general, allows Israelite men, black, Latino men, and as casualties of war, they let some of the others fall into that, you know, their own race. That creates a more believable
right.
agenda, right? Hey, let's sacrifice some of our own into this madness.
Right.
And he said they allow you to grow up physically strong. They allow you to grow up, you know, and look like a man, right?
Right?
I mean, it's changing a little bit now with some of this agenda right. being accelerated.
Right.
But we're boys. We're immature. Most of us, right? So emotionally, spiritually, we're not strong. And they've put the wrong emphasis on what really makes us strong, right? Mm-hmm. It's more than just the machismo,
right?
That's what we say in Spanish, right? It's more than just the I'm tough. And,
right.
You know, they put such an emphasis on the outward strength
right.
that we don't even direct that in the right direction. We're beefing with each other over mm-hmm. over a block. Over a word said, over a comment on the internet,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever it might be, and killing each other over this and thinking that that's manly.
Right.
And that's not a strong man. That's a weak man
right.
that's driven by emotion
right.
that you're going to let words drive you to the point where you'll kill your brother.
Right.
That's a form of a feminism
right.
as well, because men should not be so easily offended by words that it would drive your behavior, that you let another man control your actions and coax you into
right.
committing a murderous act against your brother, right? So we have to change the paradigm and fight against what we're going to jump back to in Isaiah 29 after we read 1 Corinthians 11 and fight against that agenda, fight against those secret plots,
right.
all right? Fight against those popular persuasions. Get me that one too, the popular persuasions, all right? Fight it and look it up if you need to.
Yeah,
and fight against that and fight against those things. And through this series of episodes that we'll do, because it's too much to cover in one show, we're going to reference this one particular book. We'll reference some other things, all right, and really try to redefine for our people what really makes a strong man, because what the world is churning out now is weaker and weaker men, and you have a turning of things upside down of the divine order. Let's read this in 1 Corinthians 11.
This is the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11 and verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ.
Right. So first and foremost, we need to understand who's in charge of us. Right. And the head of every man is Christ.
That's right.
Because another part of the agenda is that because the book will talk about religions, and it'll talk about religions, meaning denominations, but not necessarily the Bible. Right. Bible as the foundation and everything. And they're trying to take Christ, the true Christ.
Mm-hmm.
out of our heads, out of our image, right? And they fill it with this, you know, these images of people in power, supposedly, and in the mass media, that's where the cult of personality will come in. And mass media will include television and movies like we just spoke about.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll give us a white Superman, right? And they'll
right.
give us a superhero who's very equitable and, you know, is into the transgender rights and
right.
all this other stuff like that, and not stand for these principles and these ideals that God told us. So all this stuff comes from God first. So the head of every man is Christ, right? There's a hierarchy. There's an order here
mm-hmm.
to how we're supposed to behave to be strong men, right?
But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ.
Right. So the head of every man is Christ. Come on.
And the head of the woman is the man.
This is the order.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got this whole thing recently with this whole sisters group that was out there
right,
and
right, right.
trying to, well, I think, man, what was one of the lines? She said, oh, when they read about Abigail and the Bible, that's not what it's talking about. Just get up and go to the bathroom.
Wow.
I said, oh, my goodness, man. That was one of the comments
yeah,
on the
yeah.
thing that they were playing.
Wow.
Right. And some of us here in Arizona know that sister because
yep.
she had come to visit. Once upon yep. a time, she was friendly with my wife. My wife, after the class, sent me like the last text. It was like two years ago. She was
Damn.
Like, nah, I haven't spoken to that sister in 2 years. Because she knew I was going to come for her.
Right.
She said, I haven't spoken to that sister in 2 years. You know, I'm in one of the offices here after class. I said, hey, man. that sister, I remember she was here. I believe she was friendly with your wife. And, she tried to exchange numbers with my wife. I said, yeah, thank you, officer. I said, my wife hasn't spoken to her in a long time. Once we knew some stuff was going on, we distanced ourselves from that, right? So anyway, that was one of the things that was going out there. So my point being is that you can't gainsay 1 Corinthians 11. Right. You can't say that it's in a certain context. No. You can't say, right, read it from the top again.
This is the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ.
He's going over the divine order.
Right.
If things are in this order, then everything is going to be the way it needs to be. It's not going to be turned upside down. Come on.
And the head of the woman is the man.
And the head of the woman is the man. And society will have, that's like a trigger thing. There's some sisters, man, they hear that scripture and their face goes like this.
Yeah, they get the stink face.
Yeah, you know, like when a fly come in your face, it's like they get that type of face when they hear that line. And it'll probably be like, you know, like a relatively good sister, like in general that seems all right. But it goes to show you how deeply ingrained this is, that they'll hear that and it'll make them be like, keep that away. This is what God said.
Yep.
This is what God said. And if you want all the things that you say, because listen, yes, many of our men are broken. Many of our men are childish. Many of our men are not set up right.
Mm-hmm.
Many, but not all. Right. Not now, not in these last days as this Bible's coming out.
Bring it out.
So everybody needs to play their position. And part of that goes into that, right? So that's why I say, sisters, there'll be elements where, but this is totally for the men. If sisters are brought up, it's only in context to see where your role needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
And where the man's role needs to be so that then we can fulfill this divine order more completely the way the Most High wants us to do it, right? Come on, read.
And the head of Christ is God.
And the head of Christ is God. So he's letting you know the divine order is God, Christ, man, woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the children under that in subjection, right? All right? So now go back to Isaiah 29. Yep.
This is the book of Isaiah, chapter 29 and verse 16.
Bring it out.
Surely the turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of
so
him
the
that
the turning
made
of
it?
Things upside down covers many things, right? It covers many things. But in relation to what we're talking about now in this class, we're dealing with that divine order that we just read in 1 Corinthians. It starts with that, right? Come on.
For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not. Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding?
God will not be mocked,
right?
You can't do anything against the truth, but for it, the scripture tells you. So even though we're dealing with this type of behavior in these last days, even we're dealing with the fruit of it in seeing the weak state of our men in these last days, all right? It's God says, listen, it's going to be esteemed as the potter's clay, meaning I am going to mold it and do what I want with it, regardless of what your intentions are to try to fight against me, right? You know how they're doing all this space stuff? They made the Space Force and everything.
Right.
That's to fight Christ and all the angels when they come.
Yep. Right. Exactly.
And he says, listen, you can do all those things, but my work is going to be done the way it is, right? Read it from the top again.
This is the book of Isaiah, chapter 29 and verse 16. Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay.
Meaning it's not permanent. It's not fixed. Clay is moldable into whatever you want.
Exactly.
You know, I like to play that game, Cranium.
And they
have the one where it's like drawing or drawing blindfolded or clay. And you got to, right? So you get this clay and you're supposed to make something that's on the card for the clay. Let's say it says, you know, show a rowboat. And you got to make a rowboat and they guess, right? And then for the next round, it goes back into the thing. It's molded into whatever. And then you could do it for the next card. And you do it for the next card, right?
Exactly.
So it's whatever you want. So that's the example with the clay. Come on.
For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not?
So he's like, hey, listen, I'm in charge of all that. You forget that because you're... Because now is your time to reign, right? Based on what you read in Genesis, as far as the prophecies fulfilled, right? You think that means that I was all together for you, like the scripture says,
right?
You thought I was all together in agreement with you on this stuff.
Like I was one of y'all.
Like I was one of y'all, right? So it's not going to be that way, okay? I made it this way, and when it's time for me to take you, just like I gave the example of the game, and throw you back in the container and mold you into something else, that's how it's going to go down. Come on.
Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it,
He had no understanding.
Right. So it says, or like a, or like an artwork, like, you know, like if you painted a picture of something, right, is it going to say, ah, you know, the guy who painted me had no understanding when I did this?
Right.
No. Right. Jump up to verse 15.
Verse 15. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark.
Right. The works are in the dark is that crafty counsel, these agendas that they put in place, mm-hmm. right, like that zeitgeist to create the agenda of how the world is going to perceive things, how they're going to present things to people, so that people thinking that they're free, people thinking that they have their own thoughts,
mm-hmm.
you're simple as hell, because your thoughts are the programmed thoughts
yep.
that Esau, the exactly. so-called white man, all right, the Bible calls Esau Edom, mm-hmm. all right, programs into your head.
We don't have a single idea in our head that's
no,
ours.
That's ours. Nope. Unless it comes from this Bible.
All praises. And that's from right? God.
We have the mind of Christ, the Bible says. That's when you right. start to repent, you start to build yourself back up in these ways, we have the mind of Christ.
Right.
And if you have the mind of Christ, you can see the matrix for what it is. Right. And you can see that the Matrix 4 was crap. But but you can see that the Matrix
right.
is for what it is. You'll see the code. You'll
right.
see the line. I'm talking about the first one.
Right.
You'll see the code. You'll see the line for what it is.
Right.
You won't say, oh, this is a sister in a red dress.
Right.
That's an agent.
Right.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
You'll know that it's all fake. It's nothing real, right?
Right, right.
And there's going to be some that they're going to want, just like Cypher, ignorance is bliss.
Right,
I'm going to want to stay ignorant, right?
Right?
That's like you read in Wisdom of Solomon, that great war of ignorance that they call peace, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So...
That was heavy, Cap.
Read verse 15 again.
Verse 15. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us, and who knoweth us?
It's in the dark from us, right? Those of us who have not repented in this Bible, meaning our people in general. Mm-hmm. It's in the dark from us. It's in the dark from the world at large. But God sees it. And those that are confederate with them see it. Mm-hmm. Before you get what I told you to pull, let's get Psalms 82 and 5. But we can't see it. This is why he says it's in the dark. But it's not in the dark to the Most High. That's why in verse 16 he says, surely you're turning things upside down. That's the work that they've done in the dark.
Right.
They've changed the order of stuff. They've taken our heritage and ascribed it to somebody else. And they've taken the divine order and they've made the men weak.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And particularly, see, it really doesn't affect the other nations to any ill way, because they're the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction.
They're weak already.
Right. They were always meant to be right. weak. They were always meant to be lesser.
Yep.
His name means wasted away is he.
Right.
He was born wasted away.
Bring it out.
But when it comes to us, it's a powerful, powerful suppressant versus what we need to be for us to realize our full potential. Right? Read this, Psalms 82 and 5.
This is the book of Psalms, chapter 82 and verse 5.
Bring it out.
They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course.
That's the same thing like when we read in Isaiah when it says the turning of things upside down.
Right.
All the foundations of the earth. See, when during the creation, when God made everything, we always think of just the physical.
Right.
But we don't realize, unless you really go into that, I think I kind of covered it when I did my creation series that I did. When you go into 2 Ezra, it tells you that he put commands into the things that he created.
Right.
Right? Kind of like you see these sci-fi movies where they program a robot and it's supposed to do only something, right?
Right.
But then the robot, you know, gets
goes
too smart,
off,
goes right. off, right? God's creations don't. Right? I've brought this up before. We do.
Right.
Right? In our rebellion, we do. Mm-hmm. Sin entered in and we do.
Right.
We go against those things.
Right.
right? But everything else plays its role. Unless Esau starts messing with it.
Right.
Right. Even the animals be bugging out when Esau come in,
mm-hmm.
just disrupt their habitat, disrupt their whole food chain and cycle of things,
yep.
and they start wilding out. That's another thing. You see people say, well, there's animals in the animal kingdom that do homosexuality. Man, they bug the hell out because what Esau's done, the foundation's out of course,
yep.
the turning of things upside down,
mm-hmm.
even affects the animal kingdom.
Right.
But it was not
that?
So.
Mm-hmm.
The Most High made it where all things had divine ordinances. Right? The sun was supposed to do what it did,
mm-hmm.
right? The moon, the wind, the weather.
Yeah, the
so, you know, when
yep.
they talk about that, oh, it's us affecting the yep. weather. No, you ain't affecting nothing.
Right.
Exactly.
right.
But they do have an emphasis on the animals, on us, because you read that in Romans 8:19, which is about the earnest expectation of the creature, await of the manifestation of the sons of God. The, as you read on in that chapter, it says the whole creation moans and groans with us.
Right.
With
That's
us,
right.
Because they know that that stuff is out of order.
Right.
Right. You were going to say something. Do you have your thought?
You said it already.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I took it from you. I did a matrix thing. I did a...
Damn it, Neil.
Read Psalms 82 and 5 again.
The book of Psalms, chapter 82 and verse 5. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness.
That's talking about us. We know not. We walk on in darkness, right? It says, neither will we understand, right? Mm-hmm. This is why Christ says in Matthew 5, ye are the light of the world, right? Let your light so shine so men can see your good works. Because we need to take them out of that darkness. The Most High uses men for that in his spirit to do so.
Right.
Not to exalt ourselves above any type of measure, right? But the reality is he's always used that. You look at our history in the Bible, he's always used the men, the prophets, our forefathers, the real men, to make things happen and move things in the earth.
Exactly.
And you're seeing that thing happen again today. So little by little, what you don't realize in this walk is that we're correcting the foundations that have been put out of course.
We're
putting things back in place the way it needs to be.
Right.
Every act of repentance, every flyer that's given out,
every
order and structure and things that we put in place is has a bigger, more profound impact on turning those things upside down, of putting the foundations of the earth back into course. But most of our men, and it starts with the men, walk on in that darkness. Right? Because women will have no glory in the kingdom till the men get their glory. So the women should be rooting for the men to apply these scriptures, not trying to subvert it, not trying to make it something else and make it seem like it says something else.
Right.
Not trying to put themselves where they can pass a man. That's not what it's going into. That's not what it's going into. Get the one that I told you.
Yep, yes, sir. This is 1 Ezra chapter 5 and verse 73. And by their secret plots and popular persuasions and commotions, they hinder the finishing of the building.
Right. So that was when they were building up the actual temple and stuff, right? Now we have a spiritual, right? We're that church. We're that temple, right? Israel as a nation. And it says the enemy, by their secret plots, by commotions, by popular persuasions, all right, they try to hinder us correcting the foundations being out of course, right? Mm-hmm. Because, again, when you let's read that in Romans 8:19 real quick. I didn't have that in my head, but, well, I had it in my head. I didn't have it in my notes.
Okay. Book of Romans chapter 8 verse 19.
This is another one of my favorite scriptures. I have many. This is another one of my favorite scriptures. Come on.
For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Right. So the earnest expectation waits that manifestation. That means they also understand the creation, that when we get right, starting with that divine order, because God is right, Christ is right, men went off. The sons of God went off. So we need to fix that. And when we fix that, then the women will get themselves where they need to be, right? The children will get themselves where they need to be. The
That's
reason
right.
that they're waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God is because they know that those foundations will be corrected.
Right.
There will be a course correct.
Wow.
What needs to be done, what needs to be accomplished in the earth will be set up. So it's very, very critical that these things are put into motion. So read this again, what you had.
First Ezra?
Yep.
The book of First Ezra, chapter 5, verse 73. Yeah. And by their secret plots and popular persuasions and commotions, they hinder the finishing of the building all the time that King Cyrus lived.
Right. So they use those popular persuasions, right, which is the feminist movement, which is all this. Their secret plots, that goes into what we read about what they do in the dark, right? And commotions. They'll make things, they'll have you looking one way while they do something else, right?
Sleight of hand.
Sleight of hand, right? Yep. I think I have mentioned that movie, The Prestige, and they talk about, you know, it's basically about distracting someone while you do something else on this end. And then that's how it gets done. And they do that stuff to us all the time, all the time, right? Okay. So let's get the definition of zeitgeist.
I had a movie called Zeitgeist a while back, huh?
They did. Yeah, but it's like a funky documentary.
Conspiracy. My brother gave me the DVD. Like, I never watched it, though.
They go into, they try to say that Christ, the story of Christ and the history of how he was born is like an ancient Babylonian thing. So they start with that. Yeah,
SIBO.
Well, SIBO, right. Right. But no, but they try to say like, you know, the whole thing is just false, and so you know, there's some bones in it. I mean, there's some stuff that's good in it, right? Zeitgeist. It's the defining spirit or mood of a particular period of history, as shown by ideas and beliefs of the time, right? So essentially, what it means is, depending on what time period you're in, the beliefs, right, the ideas of the time are different, right? Mm-hmm. You look at a time. When women across all nations were seen as in their traditional roles and things like that.
Exactly.
So they realized that they had to sacrifice that to a point because, you know, the Edomite woman, the Moab woman, you know, the Ishmaelite woman, they for the most part play their position. Some of them do get contaminated with the taints of the agenda that's meant for us.
Right.
But most of them play their position, right? They don't they'll tell the black or Hispanic woman to not do those things.
Right.
But then they're doing it and they're supporting the mission.
Right.
At home.
Exactly.
Right? So it's a defining, and notice it says spirit. It's not just mood. It says the defining spirit.
Mm.
And you know that there's spirits behind all that stuff, mm-hmm. all right, of a particular period of history. And in these last days, one of the biggest ones that's taken up a lot of steam is that feminist movement.
Yep.
That feminist movement started as, oh, it's only about women's rights. It's only about, yeah, let's just give the women a little more of this and a little more of that. Who would be against that? Right, you're so mean that you're against a woman making equal salary and things like that. I don't think there's a man here that says a woman shouldn't make the same money for the same position and that stuff. The problem is what comes with that type of behavior. The thing is, you try to take it to another level with those type of things, and then when it comes to equality in the Bible, as far as at home and different things like that, no, that's not like that.
Right. Exactly.
It's not like that. I'm not saying you go and don't make money, right? You read it in Proverbs 31. It's just go out, do that, right. All that.
Yeah,
but then what it say? But she come back, and she don't try to lord it over the man and try to make her feel empowered and all this other stuff.
Right.
So they slipped it in subtly, and then it became this bigger thing where now, you know, you can change your gender, you can do this, you can do that, so on and so forth, right? So that's the zeitgeist definition, all right? What else we got? Is it the same? The general belief, ideas, and spirit of a time and place.
Mm.
Look at the example again. His songs perfectly captured the zeitgeist of 1960s America, right?
Right.
So it's letting you know there's particular time periods where things are going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the big ones now is that Sodom agenda
yep.
and the deconstruction of the divine order of the black and Hispanic household.
Mm-hmm.
And because they seemingly don't do it and target it based on race, right? Because you'll see white people rolling with it. You'll see some Asian people. You'll see, right? Mm-hmm. You'll see some other races rolling. You're saying, no, it's not an agenda against the Israelites.
Right.
Okay.
But not realizing how much more potent it is for us. Remember, I said at the beginning, I said it doesn't impact them, that dysfunction, the same way it does us.
Right.
Because they were made for a certain purpose. We were made for a more divine, for a better, mm-hmm. more glorious purpose. Right. Mm-hmm. What does this say? The spirit of the time, the general trend of thought, feeling, or taste, characteristic of a particular period of time, right? And then they give the example. It's one of those iconic novels that represents the zeitgeist of the mid-1990s so perfectly that reading it provides the ideal dose of nostalgia, right? So it's like the 70s was defined by like disco and free love and all that other stuff, some of the 60s as well too, right? Mm-hmm. So that was the zeitgeist of that time, right? And then each kind of era has a different momentum to fulfill their agenda.
I mean, you think about the 80s, mm-hmm. how it was then, you know, in the 90s.
Well, yeah, right. I mean, and if you were from, you know, in urban America, mm-hmm. The 80s was about the crack epidemic.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. and what that did and destroyed us, you know.
Right.
So that's what the zeitgeist is dealing with. Let me check my Telegram here to see the order that I have this stuff that I want to bring out. So essentially what it looks like when you bring this up, let me just tell you what inspired me to say I got to move on this topic. Let's put up that TikTok video. Right? And there's some language in this. I mean, I don't know. I've never said we're a safe show for children, but
Parental discretion.
Right.
Parental discretion is advised. Right? Parental discretion is advised. Go ahead. Play that TikTok video.
I told y'all I chose violence today for men and men only. It is okay for you to not like what she is wearing. It is okay for you to be jealous in the sense of being territorial. It is okay for you to put her in her place and not agree with everything that she is saying. It is okay for you to be a man. I know you live in a society where they make you think being a man is not okay. Fellas, it is okay for you to be a man. It is okay for you to have pride. It is okay for you to be protective. It is okay for you to not want her to be out here dressing sexy for the entire fucking world. It is okay. And don't you ever stop being a man. And don't you bow down because you're scared of her leaving. Let her fucking leave.
That brother need a flyer.
Hey, you know what?
That's inspiration.
They probably watch us. And then right. they get content for us right. to do that stuff like that. And hey, all praise. Maybe it starts like that. Maybe right. that's a seed. So, and he decides to change some of the other stuff, right?
Right?
Okay. Oh, damn. I'm looking on Facebook like they got us with subtitles.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, really? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, like, you could read it now.
Yeah, okay.
It's like closed captioning. Okay, all right. Yeah. Look, and I just what I just said is I could see the delay. I said, wow, oh, wow, yeah. Yeah, so, like... Hey, so that thing, Bishop has said it to me. I woke up one morning this week and I saw it. I said, damn, you know what? I got to jump back into the man thing. He said, it's okay. What's this whole thing of, you know, they make a joke about it. Like, don't say your wife, you know, do I look fat in this? And you're like, they got the commercial. He puts like the Twix in his mouth or something. He got a commercial, right? Hey, it's okay to tell her she don't look good in that. It's okay right. to tell her not to go show her ass for the whole world to see. That's for you.
That's right.
It's okay for those things.
Bro, that's
and that's biblical. It talks about modesty and all that stuff like that. He said it's okay to have pride as a man and not that corruptive pride, which we'll talk about as we dive deeper into this topic at some point, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says, what was the last part he said? Run it back real quick towards the end. He says something towards the end.
He said it's okay to be.
Yeah, it's okay to be a man. Oh, stop for a second. He says it's okay to be jealous from the sense of being territorial.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
yours.
Right.
Right? Now, there's you got crazy nut jobs that'll take it to like a deeper level, right? But it's okay.
Yeah.
But they'll try to tell you, no, that's toxic. That's toxic masculinity. Mm-hmm. We don't have enough masculinity in these last days.
Bring it out.
Talking about toxic masculinity.
Bro,
the form of masculinity that the zeitgeist of the times is pushing out is what's toxic because it's destroying the black and Latino men. Where are those strong men?
Right.
If they're not in this Bible, doing Christ doctrine to the law and to the testimony, they're not strong men. I don't care how tough they are. I don't care how tough they talk.
Right.
You're not a strong man because you could pull a trigger and kill somebody over some kicks, over some perceived slight. You're not.
No, you're right. You remember what did Solomon or David say to Solomon? Show thyself a man.
Show thyself a man. Go ahead, read it.
Yeah. Read that.
This is the book of 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 3. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth.
The wrong 1 Kings 2 and 2.
You good?
1 Kings 2 and 2. You good? You got you. That's the one you want. Yeah. That just popped in my
head. This is the book of 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 2. I go all the way of the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man.
Right? Be thou strong and show thyself a man.
And keep the charge of the Lord thy God.
That's what shows you a man. You keep the charge of the Lord thy God. And that starts with that divine order. And, you know, obviously he didn't use biblical words per se. But that's part of the charge of the Lord, what he said.
He was speaking biblically.
That's what makes it so powerful. Though he was rude in speech.
Right.
Not in knowledge. Not in knowledge. Right? Come on.
and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever.
And so that's what shows yourself a man. Mm-hmm. That's what shows you a man. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm going to try to get that thing printed up real nice, man. And my son's only 5, so, you know, he's not going to grasp all of that. But that's something, man, because right when they start hitting them teenage years, man, that's when that influence starts hitting them a little bit.
Yep.
Bro, I'm going to throw that thing up in his room, bro. I'm going to make that like a, bro, you got to read this every day. I need you to remind you, because the world out there is telling you this, that, and the other, what a man is supposed to be.
Right.
Like, and that's not it.
Like an affirmation.
Yeah, like an affirmation, but biblically.
Yeah.
A biblical affirmation.
No, that's okay.
And that's biblical, too, because you read in Deuteronomy where it says teach it to them.
Right.
It says write it on the post of the door and all that. Right,
right.
It's the same thing going into that stuff.
You're on point with that.
So that's how you show yourself to be a man. So this brother was saying that. So I want to end where, right before he starts talking about don't be afraid for her to leave.
Yeah, yeah. It's like let her.
Because that's going to lead me greatly into the next couple clips I want to show.
Go ahead. Slow down because you're scared of her leaving. Let her fucking leave.
Right? He said, don't trim your ways.
Right.
Don't stop being a man. Don't let nobody tell you it's not okay to be a man, especially the woman that you're with.
Right.
Because you're afraid for her to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's called the pussification of men.
Good word.
That's the zeitgeist of the time. And that's not my term. I ain't going to take credit for it. Right, there's a dude who wrote a book about it. Look, that's a puss.
You can see it in his eyes.
That's a puss, right? The selfie looks like you got a man bun, bruh. Right? Social media will make you a puss, all right? That's depending on how you use it, social media will turn you into a gabbing, gossiping, attention whore.
Is that him, Doug? They just put an R there.
Doug Giles. Yeah, this is in the book we're reading, but I haven't read this book. But and it's not even him that came up with this term. As I was doing research, it's George Carlin who came up with the term, the comedian George Carlin, which is funny because he really wasn't a comedian. His shtick was to get up and tell you shit to the face.
Right.
Like,
yeah, okay.
Like what was going on. And it just made sense.
Right.
And it was just so real that it was funny
because
it became uncomfortable for people. Right. So, but if you know George Carlin, the old Edomite, he actually says some pretty potent things, right?
Yeah.
He even goes in on white people, and he white himself, right? So, pussification. Let's read what pussification, they even phonetically put it out for you.
Right.
Pussification, right? The act or process of a man being shamed, taught, led, pastored. Notice why he's giving you these different terms. Pastored,
yep.
Because of Christianity,
yep.
Because these denominations of religions, drugged or otherwise coerced or cajoled into throwing out his brain, handing over his balls, and formally abandoning the rarefied air of the testosterone leader fog that God. And when he says nature, that's God. That's going into the creation, though. That's the fine. That's how I look at it. People see nature and they think, but no, that goes into the whole creation moaneth and groaneth with us.
That's right.
And abandoning, it says it's a rarefied air that was given unto us as men, as the sons of God. You abandon the rarefied air of the testosterone leader fog that God and nature hardwired him to dwell in. That's the turning of things upside down. That's the foundations out of course. Yeah, I'm going to reference The Matrix 4 now. I guess I do got some spiritual from it. They reprogrammed Neo so that he couldn't see The Matrix for what it was.
Mm-hmm.
They tweaked him, and they made him a puss.
Damn.
He was pussified in The Matrix 4.
The hell is this?
And it says God hardwired that mindset and all of that stuff to dwell in us, what we read in Kings. And instead become a weak, effeminate, mangina-sporting, shriveled-up little pussy.
Damn. Bring it up.
Finish him.
I did. Yes, porn is bad. Porn makes you a simp. If you're addicted to porn, you're a simp.
Yep. Bring it out. Bring it out.
You're a weak man.
Bring it out.
Because remember what the brother said. Now I want the clip from 40-year-old virgin.
Yeah.
Here's another thing that makes men weak. Putting the pussy on a pedestal. Putting the pussy on a pedestal.
Bring it out, Cap.
Go ahead. Put it up. I'm sorry. Listen, this is a late night show.
Just
so.
Let me just say.
Stop.
You are.
Run it all the way back. Run it all the way back. And it's a little low. I don't know if they're hearing it low. It sounds a little low.
Yeah,
okay. Right. It's a little low. Turn it up.
This is from
the 40-year-old virgin. All right. Mm-hmm. And this is a scene where they talk about him putting the pussy on a pedestal, right? Mm-hmm. Going into the porn or being afraid of the woman to leave. Mm-hmm. Right. Come on, put this up.
Can I just interject for a second? Let me just say, you are putting the pussy up on this pedestal. You're just building the pussy up, man.
What are you even talking about, building the pussy up? What does that mean?
You're making the pussy into this great big Greek goddess named Pussalias, and what you're doing is you're psyching yourself into thinking this.
Stop. Yeah. Stop. He said you're making it into this great big Greek goddess, Pussalias.
Right.
That's like Diana of the Ephesians, right? It's the same thing. He said you making the pussy this great big Greek goddess called Pussalia. Run it back just a few. Run it back just a few seconds when he starts saying that. Go ahead.
Pussy up. What does that mean?
You making the pussy into this great big Greek goddess named Pussalia. And what you're doing is you're psyching yourself into thinking it's some impossible feat.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm putting the pussy up on a pedestal.
Right.
That's it. It's Pussalia, right?
Look where you're going.
I don't want to say the word anymore.
Say what word?
Pussy. Fuck I don't want to say it.
Pussy is a scientific word.
Dude. Stop. He said pussy is a scientific word. So he says you're putting it up on this great big pedestal. You're making it like this big thing.
Right.
And it doesn't need to be. Mm-hmm. I'm going to show you what that example is. Let's get Isaiah 4 and 1. So when you there... And the porn makes you dumb, right? I have an article on that. I know I've been saying I'm going to do this for a long time. I have all these ideas. I have a running list of class topics, but I got to be feeling it. I was going to go over a different topic today, but like my mind, my body, my spirit wasn't letting me go over it. I said, I got to go over this.
Okay.
That TikTok video like set me on fire. I got to go over this thing. I said, it's time. I was going to run it back, go back a little bit more into the white animus and stuff like that. And we'll get back to that at some point, Lord's will. But I said, no. I'm divergent to this. I got to deal with this.
That's right.
I said, this is some real stuff right now. Some real stuff right now. So the porn will have you there sitting there like this, like Pussalia.
Yep.
Bro, and that becomes an idol, right? Because now you're not productive.
Yep.
Now it freaking makes you dumb. You're just there freaking rubbing them off all day.
Right.
It desensitizes you.
Agree.
It changes your behavior.
Yep.
And then it sets expectations that are, depending on how deep you go into your porn, that are unrealistic.
Right. Exactly. Impossible at times.
Impossible at times.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
You're like, damn, man, you know.
They're going to do that?
Yeah.
Right.
But it also goes into that, what the brother said in the TikTok video about, you being afraid for them to leave.
Yep.
You got to understand, the woman was made for us. And cue that scripture up. Not the other way around. Get that in 1 Corinthians 11. The woman was made for us and not the other way around.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's not a disrespect. That's not a slight.
Right.
That's a rarefied air, like we read in the definition of pussification.
Right.
It's an honor. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Just like some of these sisters would love to be with their favorite celebrity, right? Oh, man, I would bet this guy, right? Mm-hmm. Idris Elba or whoever else is out there. The hell is this dude? The martial artist dude. I forgot his name. I was just watching his movie.
Michael J. White.
Michael J. White, whatever it is. Whatever your ideal is, sisters. most sisters would jump at the opportunity to be, because that's what's dignified to them. That's what's rarefied.
Right.
So your minds is messed up too, because you don't see the power in the men that are here, that are changing their lives, that are trying to get these foundations of the earth back in course, right? And being married to a great man. Bishop Yalosab gave a class here right after Tabernacle was going into something very much like that.
Yes, sir.
And he brought up the example of some great so-called civil rights leaders, and he said many of their wives never remarried when their men died.
That's right. I remember that.
Because they realized the rarefied air of the type of man that they were married to. And they could not see that in somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
They felt that was a step down. I think the one sister that did remarry eventually, it was somebody that was of a same mind who was actually a disciple of that particular brother.
Exactly. Right.
And a lot of these sisters, they don't realize that stuff. you will have all your glory in the kingdom of heaven and even some blessings now in this life if you get yourself in that divine order.
That's right.
Realizing the type of men that you have. But brothers, you got to be applying this. Mm-hmm. You got to be. I'm going to tell you something. It's a lot simpler for a woman to break those chains in her mind that the zeitgeist has mm-hmm. put on her when the man is making proper decisions, when he's guiding the house. I mean, you still got to follow your role regardless because First Peter tells you, right?
Right.
Even if he's not, right? You win him over by your chaste conversation,
exactly.
right? By your example in the commandments. But what I'm saying is that, brothers, because the emphasis is on men here, being men, being a strong man, not being pussified,
mm-hmm.
not putting the pussy on a pedestal.
Right.
All right? That's a weakness. That's not a strong man. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot easier, sisters, for you to break the chains that's in their mind if a brother's making those right decisions mm-hmm. and doing that stuff. There's a confidence there. You still gonna catch crap. I catch crap with my wife all the time.
Of course.
I'll be fighting with her all the time because she'll say some little sideways stuff, and I say, you don't understand. I said, you don't understand the type of man I am.
It's just that trouble in the
family. You don't understand the type of man that I continue to grow into on mm-hmm. a daily basis. And that offends her. Oh, but I love you. It's not about you right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling you that you don't understand. It's not about your feelings being hurt. It's none of that. Because if you did, you wouldn't even say mm-hmm. the things that you say.
Exactly.
Because she does this thing where, like, she presumes to know what's in my head. I've said this before in classes, and that thing pisses me the hell off.
Do you mind reading?
Yeah. No, I know it's because of this. Shut up.
Bro,
I'm going to
my
man cave. Leave
right,
me the hell
right,
alone.
Right, right.
Bro,
and don't come in
about,
there
man?
Either.
Right.
I've nothing to say to you until you get yourself right.
Bring it out.
The hell out of here. What type of stuff is that?
Right.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Read this.
This is the book of Isaiah, chapter 4 and verse 1.
Bring it out.
And in that day, 7 women shall take hold of one man.
There's no reason to put the pussy on a pedestal, brothers. That ain't strong. That's weak. Let her leave.
Bring it out.
Give me that other one where it says a wicked woman's given to a wicked man.
Mm-hmm.
But the reverse of that is that you'll get a good woman if you're righteous.
Bring it out. That's right.
When you get yourself together, you're going to get that. Read this again, what you got.
This is the book of Isaiah, chapter 4, and verse 1. And in that day, 7 women shall take hold of one man.
And brothers, you got to understand something. That day will not arrive until that 144,000 are sealed.
That's right.
Right. And we know some are sealed already, right? It's not like we started from scratch, right? Many are sealed already. What that number is, we don't know, all right? But the point being here is that day will arrive when we become the strong men that God put in place for us to be. And you'll get
right.
that stuff in order. So you don't got to worry if your wife and her. You know, a lot of these wives think that they're going to be married to their husband in the kingdom.
They might not.
They may not.
Right.
You may not be one of those 7,
right.
honey, if yep. you're watching. You may not.
Right.
And it's okay. Because if you ain't, I love you. All right. But if you don't get everything you need to get together according to what the Most High says, it's okay. Because in that day, 7 will take hold of one man. Come on.
And in that day, 7 women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel.
Right, because those are things that a strong man is supposed to do.
Yep. Right.
Provider, leader, right? We'll drink our own, we'll eat our own bread. We'll wear our own apparel. Mm-hmm. Meaning, you don't even got to bring it to my wife. Put the crying emoji. You know this ain't nothing that I've never told you to your face. Stop playing the role. Go ahead. Come on.
Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach.
Right. Only let us be called by thy name. Well, he says, bro, you making too much of it?
Yep.
You make it, bro, run it back. We got to run that back.
Bro,
we got to run that back. Now that I read this, bro, and their reproach is the realization like, oh, snap. Oh, because I'm telling you, some of those 7, it might not be your wife.
Right.
And they're going to see that. They're going to know that. Oh, snap. Damn, isn't Nehemiah, his wife ain't here with him? Oh, I mean, Lord forbid. I love your wife. I love Sister Shira. But
you're that Shira.
You know what I'm saying?
Bring it out.
Come on.
Can I
play this?
Just for a second. Let me just say, you are
You are putting the pussy up on this pedestal. You're just building the pussy up, man.
What are you even talking about, building the pussy up? What does that mean?
You making the pussy into this great big Greek goddess named Pussalias, and what you're doing is you're psyching yourself into thinking it's some impossible feat.
Yeah,
stop.
I think you're right.
That's the part. You psych yourself into thinking it's some impossible feat, brothers.
Yep.
Then your wife puts sad faces. You're psyching yourself into thinking it's some impossible feat. We just read in Isaiah 4:1, and 7's just a number.
Right.
It might be
right,
more
right,
than 7.
Right.
That's just to kind of give you an idea. You might have, like, it might be like American Idol, bro, and they all waiting out there to audition for you.
Yeah.
And I don't mean
right.
in some pornographic
no,
way,
yeah,
brothers.
Yeah, yeah.
If,
all right?
If you're scriptural, you know that 7 is a number of completion to the Most High, so it doesn't necessarily.
Exactly,
mean,
right,
exactly,
right,
exactly,
right.
exactly, exactly. That's a good right. point. So. So that's part of the weakness too, right? Like the brother said in the TikTok, like you see in the comedy here, you're making a bigger deal out of it. And it gives you all this angst. It makes your whole purpose just let me get the next buns and all that stuff like that, right? Whether it's porn, whether it's the woman that you have that you don't want to put in order or correct.
Right.
For whatever reason. I know it's tough. Some of us are vested. We got children and things like that. Mm-hmm. If they're going to be disruptive to this, to letting the foundations get back, excuse me, into course. Don't be afraid for her to go. That's another thing that makes you manly.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing that makes you manly. Let me see what else I got here on this feed. Y'all can say something when I look for this. I had put up some other stuff.
Hey, Cap,
a reminder.
Yeah. Look up. Talking with what we're going over. Look up at this. What we got highlighted.
Watch for dinner now. You can get. nah, she ain't gonna roll like that.
Bruh.
Wow.
She ain't gonna roll like that.
No.
She good like that. It's little things that we gotta tweak. But you know what? As I rise and I grow in this truth, as your men rise and they grow in this truth, and I don't mean rank. I mean as they get themselves back to the strong men they supposed to be, right? That's the acknowledgement of the great men part that I'm talking about. Regardless of the small minor things that you might see there, you know, and listen, I'm not saying if there's not like a big issue, the dude's blowing the money, you can't pay the rent, there's different things going on.
Right.
That's some serious stuff, and there's mediation that's done, and we work on that stuff. But the role of the man, right? Get maybe that the flock of my pasture are men. How God has placed the man is lost on the women, I think, in the day-to-day. Even those here repenting in this.
No, it's a.
Even
Ezekiel,
those here repenting in
Ezekiel,
this.
Ezekiel, I got it. Ezekiel 34. All right. So the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34 and verse 31.
Wait, before you saw this comment as I switched over to the Facebook, it says men and women simply need to play the roles outlined by the Most High God. All right. If it's simple in its presentation and what needs to be done, but because of those. Secret plots, those popular persuasions, those things done in the dark, it's turned upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that'll really break those bonds is the submission to the spirituality of the wrong that's here.
Right.
Hey, it's kind of like WandaVision. You've seen that on Disney Plus, right? WandaVision. If you haven't, you know, it's pretty good if you want to check it out. But the whole premise was that something wasn't right. And each episode, more and more got revealed that it wasn't right. It seemed like this and it seemed like that. And there has to be an awareness in that something's not right. And you have to break out of that and realize that, damn, right, stop walking on in darkness, like we read in Psalms 82:5.
No, you're right.
Light needs to be brought forth.
Right.
Light needs to be brought forth. Go ahead, read this.
Well, you want the Ezekiel?
Yes.
Ezekiel chapter 34 and 31.
Bring out!
And ye, my flock. The flock of my pasture are men.
All right? That's who the Most High is dealing with. And then women under the men.
That's right.
But I say this because this isn't, I said the women, it's gonna overlap with women in this. But brothers, you need to realize this and not put the pussy on a pedestal. Right? Not be afraid for her to leave.
Mm-hmm.
you got to realize the position and the magnitude and the greatness that you, you know, another line that my wife likes to use sometimes, and I thought, see, you still don't get it yet. I'm sorry, hon. You know, I just be throwing you out on Front Street, so it don't matter to me. All right. It's for edification. It's for edification. She'll say a line like when something happened or whatever, and I'd be like, hey, like we'll hear something, whatever. And I'd be like, you know, you should be grateful that, you know, you have me mm-hmm. as your husband.
That's right.
And I don't say it to be conceited or arrogant.
Right.
I say it in confidence.
That's right.
That's a good pride, like the brother in the TikTok that's spoke exactly about. Mm-hmm. I know where I stand. I know what the Most High says. Mm-hmm. I said, you should, well, I picked you too. I said, you don't get it. I didn't just want to be with anybody, this, that, and the other.
Right.
I said, you see, you still don't understand.
Right. Damn. We're a rare breed, Cap.
Yeah, you don't understand. You don't understand.
God level, baby.
Yeah,
that's right.
God level. God level. God level, baby.
That's right.
That's God level. Man, oh, man. I tell you, boy. Oh, what the hell? I just opened up a poll or something like that. They kicked us off Facebook. They kicked who off Facebook? Because of those videos we're using. Oh, damn. Even though you put disclaimer?
Disclaimer, but it's more audio. It's not because of, like, They go by audio.
Wow.
It shows
still live, yeah. But it looks like they booted a bunch of people. There's only two people on.
Right. It's coming back up.
Okay.
Oh, man. So what, because of the audio, they block it out? I tell you, boy, they're algorithms, man. It's something else. It's something else. I'm telling you, at some point, we're going to have to be like 100% IUIC TV just try to promote it outward or whatnot. Let me see what else I got here that I wanted to go over. So I got my notes here. So one of the things I wanted to discuss was, and I kind of already gave it away a little bit. I was going to ask the audience what makes a strong man and see some of the answers that they got. But nah, it's kind of too late for that. I already kind of went over a bunch of stuff like that, like what makes a strong man. So that's not going to work. We played the TikTok. I want to explain the cults of personality, right? So let's pull that up, dealing with that agenda. And then we'll jump into the book and we'll read some excerpts from the book. All right. Why did you post the Fruits of Self-Control? Are you going to highlight that at the end?
Yes, sir. That's today's highlight.
Oh, that's today's highlight. Okay. All right. So let's go to the cult of personality from Wikipedia. Let me copy this and open it here. Oh, you have it up there. Okay, good. Oh, I want to talk about the cult of personality. Let's scroll down so I can read that. A cult of personality, or cult of the leader, right, arises when a country's regime uses the techniques of mass media, propaganda, all right, the big lie, spectacle, the arts, patriotism, and government-organized demonstration and rallies to create an idealized and heroic image of a leader, often through unquestioning flattery and praise. Now, I know there's a different term for it, and I can't find the term that I want. Cult of personality very specifically deals with trying to idolize a particular leader, right? So you saw that with, like, Trump.
Right.
Nobody's really behind, even the people who supported Biden are not really behind Biden like that. But you saw that with Trump as a big thing. But I'm going to show you that the leader could be an image thing. Mm. The leader can be something else, right? But in this particular paragraph, I want everybody to focus on the techniques that are used to push that. Cult of personality and zeitgeist, to me, kind of go hand in hand. Because zeitgeist is the actual spirit of the times. Cult of personality is the mechanisms by which they put that spirit of the times where people embrace it.
Right.
All right. So they use mass media, they use propaganda, which is popular persuasions, right? The big lie, spectacle, that's commotions, mm-hmm. like we read in Ezra's calamities. The arts, patriotism, that's that Americanism that we spoke about. Mm-hmm. Government-organized demonstrations, right? So they get the government involved. Because where I'm going with this in deconstructing the strong men is that feminism and Sodom agenda. The government's all on board with that. When the government legalized gay marriage, that normalized it. And when you normalize it, that now gets inserted into the zeitgeist of the times.
Right.
All right. Scroll down. Let me see. Scroll up. Sorry. I didn't read that part. So it says it creates a heroic image of a leader, often through unquestioning flattery and praise. A cult of personality is similar to apotheosis. So highlight apotheosis. All right. I want to see it, though. Because there was something in there in that term that I wanted to look at.
There you go.
Okay. Apotheosis is the glorification of a subject to divine levels and commonly the treatment of a human being, any other living thing, because this is going to make my point where I say it doesn't necessarily need to be a person, or an abstract idea. So the abstract idea of I can change my gender fluidity, the abstract idea of disrupting the order by men can be with men, that which is unseemly, right? Women with women. It says, or an abstract idea in the likeness of a deity. The term has meanings in theology where it refers to a belief, and in art where it refers to a genre. So cult of personality falls under apotheosis. And dealing with it, we're dealing with it from an abstract idea or a belief, all right? So it says, a cult of personality is similar to apotheosis, except that it is established by modern social engineering techniques. Yeah. Highlight that. Social engineering. They got terms for these things. Yeah. Social engineering is a top-down effort, meaning at the highest levels, their secret plots, popular persuasions. Give me Psalms 83 because that's a top-down, okay? Is a top-down effort to influence particular attitudes and social behaviors on a large scale. They know what they're doing. They have a term for it. It's a strategy in their playbook. It's called social engineering. We went over a series of episodes on this show called Agents of Socialization. Yep. And we went into the sociology of it. And they use things like the mass media, propaganda, the internet, social media, school systems, churches, all that stuff to influence the particular attitudes and social behaviors on a large scale. They're inserting this stuff into children's shows. Right. They insert it into movies. Right. It'll have no relevance to the plot line, none of that stuff, mm-hmm. to normalize it. They do it so much more effectively than when they throw a token black or Hispanic guy in a group.
Exactly.
Because you would think that was the whole point of affirmative action, right, when they did it in television and things like that. They were supposed to put people in these roles, right, that look like us so that they can normalize us being integrated into their society.
Exactly.
And like Dave Chappelle said, he says, I really, you know, he goes, what really makes me upset with LGBTQ is that their movement is doing a lot better than our movement has been doing.
It is. They have more rights than
he said. He said they got more rights than so-called black people.
That's real talk.
They've gotten a lot further with their agenda than we ever have.
Mm-hmm. If you call somebody a name at work, like a let's say a LGBT name, you get fired.
Uh huh.
But they can call me a nigger all day, and it's all good. Ain't nobody getting fired that day.
Yeah. Hey, brother said living color. Yeah, bro. That's right. It's the cult of personality. You're exactly right. That's a song that they did. So it says social engineering is a top-down effort to influence particular attitudes and social behaviors on a large scale, most often undertaken by governments, but also carried out by media, academia. They're trying to teach that in the school systems right now, or private groups like Black Lives Matter, because we'll have an affinity because it's called Black Lives Matter. Right. And they infiltrate these groups that were really fighting for real civil rights for us, and they'll conflate the issues and throw in the mix my sexual desires
right,
and that I need rights to fulfill my sexual desires. In order to produce desired characteristics in a target population, it's if the other nations get with it, it's all right for their overreaching agenda, but it is targeted toward us.
Right.
It's engineered. Mm-hmm. It's engineered. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'll take you to the third matrix when he met the architect, right?
Mm-hmm.
They called him the architect because he
right
engineered and designed the whole thing
right
to put everybody to sleep. So it's the same. See, those were so much better than the most recent one. Right? Facebook can't stand
that
word of the week is pussalia. That's what I thought it was because we were saying puss, but puss is not really.
Nah, you could.
Right. If I was dropping F-bombs or something,
right,
maybe.
Right.
But
it's cat called Puss in Boots.
I'm right, exactly. I don't know. So you have this social engineering. Let's read Psalms 83. Let me see where I want you to start. Hold on. Let me get there myself.
Verse. Hold on.
What does verse 5 say?
Before they have consulted together.
What does it say before that?
They have said, come and let us cut them off.
Start at 2.
This is the book of Psalms, chapter 83, and verse 2. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult.
Thy enemies make a tumult. They make a commotion, a calamity, right? They're coming together to push this apotheosis, this cult of personality. Come on.
And they that hate thee have lifted up the head.
They that hate the Israelites, because the Bible tells us in prophecy, you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake, right? Come on.
They have taken crafty counsel against thy people.
They said, hey, we're going to use mass media, propaganda, the big lie. We're going to use spectacle, the arts, patriotism, government-organized demonstrations. And we're going to socially engineer these techniques so that they're repeatable, they're duplicatable, and they're easy for us to continue to perpetuate. They said, we will take, that's a crafty counsel against thy people, against God's people. Come on.
And consulted against thy hidden ones.
When they met, remember, it says from the top down. This stuff happens from the top down.
Right.
It's not, the fact that they have a term for this lets you know that this goes on.
Right.
That, like, it's like people think like, oh, no, this is all some conspiracy theory stuff.
Right.
How could they be? It goes on. They have terms for it. They've refined it.
They thought it through.
Right.
They've refined it. They said, oh, this is working really well.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Let's continue to use this. And they've consulted against thy hidden ones. Who are those hidden ones? Us. Not the so-called Jewish people that are in Israel today, because the world accepts them as the Jew. They're not hidden.
Right.
So for something to be hidden, it would mean people would not realize, accept, or acknowledge who they are.
Right.
Come on.
Verse 4, they have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation.
Who was that done to in history till this very day?
Right.
Nobody else but us.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Come on.
That the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance.
And that's heavy, because you know what? They don't call them Israelites that are accepted as Jews today. They call them Jews or Jewish.
Israeli.
So that's what it says, so that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. The names of the 12 tribes will not be used. That's what it's going into. That goes into Deuteronomy 28:37 as well,
right,
where it says a proverb and a byword, being called something outside of what you really are. So there's a lot of levels to this. And another way that they do that is by this agenda of making the men weak. Taking away the things that made us to show ourselves like a man.
Right.
Read on.
Verse 5, they have consulted together with one consent.
Right, so I'm not going to go into all the nations, okay? Well, I'll read the first ones. So we don't got to go through all of them. Go ahead, read.
They are confederate against thee.
They are confederate. Very particular words, right? Because it started here in America. They are confederate against us, all right? Oh, he just sent me the copyright. What did they say? Because it may contain 1 minute and 59 seconds of content they own. Your video was made unavailable by the rights owner.
It says NBCU.
NBCU. So it has to be the 40-year-old virgin clip.
Yeah, because it was set as a certain time.
There's a way that you can say that we were using it, right, for, like, commentary?
Educational purposes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we can wait on that.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure with that. So it says they are confederate against thee. Here it goes with some of the nations, right?
Verse 6. The tabernacles of Edom.
The so-called white man, come on.
And the Ishmaelites.
The Arabs, come on.
Of Moab.
The Chinese, come on.
And the Hagarenes.
Right, that's going into
Africans,
Ham, right? Come on.
Gabal and Ammon.
Right, Gabal is dealing with Ham. Jamin, Ammon is dealing with the Japanese, come on.
And Amalek.
The Jewish, come on.
The Philistines. With the inhabitants of Tyre.
Right, so that's going into more African countries, come on.
Assur.
That's Iraq, come on.
Also is joined with them. They have hoped in the children of Lot.
Right, the Asians. So they're all confederate against us, right? So they're all part of this social engineering, this top-down thing that's going on, right? So it says the term came to prominence in 1956 in Nikita Khrushchev's secret speech on the cult of personality and its consequences. All right, let's scroll down. Scroll down. There was something else I wanted on this. Nope, I don't want that. Keep going. Keep going. I wanted to see if there was something else. Nope, keep going. Keep going. Characteristics, I think, is what I want. Okay. There are various views about what constitutes a cult of personality in a leader. Historian Jane Plamper has written that modern-day personality cults display five characteristics that set them apart from their predecessors. The cults are secular and anchored in popular sovereignty. And remember, I said it can also be an idea, right? Mm-hmm. It can also be an abstract idea. It's secular because it's the LGBTQ movement, right. Meaning that's very, it's particularly exclusive, right? And it's anchored in popular sovereignty, meaning, like I said, once they put it and they made it like gay marriage legal, that was as if they signed off on that type of behavior. Mm-hmm. And the issue that I'm bringing out with that is that it goes back to weakening the men,
right?
Because it breaks up that divine order,
yeah.
Right? And it puts not just the puss on a pedestal if they're lesbians, it puts the rod on the guy's butthole on a pedestal,
right?
Because that's what it's going into.
Mm-hmm. The hell is this?
Fulfilling of a lust. That's not a divine order, right? Their objects are all males. They target the entire population, not only the well-to-do or just the ruling class. This is part of the abstracts that fall under this stuff. So this is where I'm saying there is a targeted audience, like we read in the social engineering, but in order for it to be effective, for it to be a cult of personality, they have to just, okay, everybody's going to be included in this stuff. And that's what we read when you read Psalms 83 with all the other nations. Ploy that they're in on. Right. They basically all said, yeah, we'll sacrifice some of our people, some of our races, some of our nations into this madness just to make sure that we get who we really want to get with this stuff. They use mass media, and they exist where the mass media can be controlled enough to inhibit the introduction of rival cults. And how do they do that? SPLC, ADL, and they'll say that it's low quality information. Right. They'll label us extremists. They'll label us hate groups, right? To try to inhibit what we're trying to bring out.
Right.
All right. And trying to inhibit what we're trying to bring out. All right. You can move that out the way.
That's why we see Russell Westbrook in a dress. And
right, know what I mean? Right. And you'll see things like that as well. So let me get the first page in the book. Let's show them the book that we're going to start reading from. All right. Get that page. So this is the book that I downloaded. I got it in an ebook form. All right. Now, of course, he addresses it to all men, right? But this is why I laid the foundation before I went into the book with all this other stuff that I was bringing out, right? Hard times create strong men. I was thinking, and I was going to call the class this, but I figured you got to do something a little more sensational for Israel. I was going to say, end times create strong men, right? Because we're in those last days, right? Biblical end times create strong men, or it should, right? Or it should. Go ahead, let's go on. I hope you got this in the right order. Okay, is that it? Let me see. Oh, no, let me look this up now. No. I literally sent it in the right order. I deleted it after, and I literally sent it in the right order. Let me see what I got here.
That's the stuff you put on the group, right?
So the next one should then be a creative man is motivated.
Yes.
There we go. Thank you. Right. It should be right at the top, and then you go left to right. Okay, a creative man is motivated by the desire to achieve, not by the desire to beat others. So one of the things we got to deal with as men, brothers, is that spirit of variance, all right? That spirit of variance needs to leave us. This isn't a competition with other brothers. We got to stop seeing each other as rivals, right? And just have a desire to achieve. And what are we trying to achieve? The status that was lost, that immortality. Trying to get ourselves back to that God level,
right?
That's what we're really trying to achieve. That's what we're really trying to focus on. It's not a competition. That's not what it's going into, right? And that's one of the works of the flesh. You read that in Galatians 5. It talks about variance is one of those.
Exactly.
Variance is a spirit of just being contrary all the time. It's a competitive type of nature.
Right.
We all of one mind. We in this together.
That's right.
Next one.
We're like a basketball team. We got, you know, the power forward, the guard.
Right. You got to realize that everybody has a part to play, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So he says, I write this book without ego. It's not about me. It was never about me. What does it mean to be a man? Possibly one of the most important questions a man can ask, but it is one of the least answered. Like in this society, we're fed those things, right?
Yep.
That's part of the pussification, right?
Yep.
You just fed something. You don't think for yourself. You've given up that capacity. You've given up that capacity to ask that question.
Right.
What does it mean to be a man? Right. We read very simply in the scriptures and Kings what it means, but there's some depth to that.
Right.
So it says, but it is one of the least answered because people don't know. Because of the zeitgeist, because of the spirit of the times, because of that apotheosis, that cult of personality that's set up. So you don't get an answer a lot of times.
Or you have various
answers. Or what they've done is they pervade it and say, oh, well, what's with all the masculinity?
Right.
You mean, what does it mean to be a man? Maybe you're not a man. maybe you're a Lana.
Right.
Maybe you're a Lana Wachowski and not somebody else.
Damn.
Right? It says, I asked myself this very question at several key junctures in my life. And as most men do, I struggle to find the answer. And in those struggles, what you come up with is whatever the media has fed you, whatever's been socially engineered to tell you what a man is. And you think you're being a man and you think you're making decisions as a man and you believe wholeheartedly. You know, sisters got to have a little mercy. You got to realize that we brainwashed just like y'all brainwashed. Right. But God has set it in order that we would open up our eyes and lead this thing
the right way
that it needs to be led.
Yes, sir.
So it says, book cross-examines that vital question and sets forth my answers to that and other hard questions and brutal realities that men need to ask themselves to survive and be men. Meaning not that you're going to die, but your manhood will not survive if you don't answer and face these things.
Right.
He said, I, like every man, have had problems in my life. I have solved some of these problems, but I still grapple with others. It is through the struggle to find solutions that I'm able to examine myself and my life and finally answer the question, what does it mean to be a man? You got to look at those things. You know, you wonder, damn, man, why can't I ever keep a job? Well, you're making excuses. You're not being manly in your job and your responsibilities.
Right.
You want to deflect and blame it on something else rather than look at yourself. Examine yourself.
Right.
The scripture tells you, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith.
Mm.
And in that faith, there's a lot of levels to that. You can apply Kings to that. Am I doing these things to be a man?
Yep.
Am I leading my house the way the scripture says? Am I leading my people the way the scripture says?
Exactly.
Am I an example in the congregation like the scripture says?
Some heavy stuff.
That's that self-examination in retrospect. Let's get to the next one. As I discovered, there is no instruction manual or Bible, he says, on how to be a man. Well, there is.
Wrong.
We have the Holy Bible
that
teaches you that.
Right.
All right. It's just been, like I said, used against us in a negative manner. And there are a million ideas on what it takes to be a man. Everybody's an expert. Everybody got some stuff to say, right? And by and large, it all pussifies everybody. All right. In his book, The Way of Men, Jack Donovan offers one perspective on becoming a man. For decades, people have been talking about a crisis of masculinity. He's talking about this toxic masculinity.
Right.
Our leaders have created a world through social engineering in spite of men. See, men were always meant to be that over things, right? You read that when you read Genesis. Let's get that in Genesis when he told them to name the animals, Genesis 2. You could start at 19. Start at 18.
This is the book of Genesis, chapter 2 and verse 18.
Bring it out!
And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him.
Come on.
And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof.
That's God level.
Mm-hmm.
That's that God level.
Bring it out.
The world was supposed to be run by strong spiritual men.
That's right.
And we live in a world today that has moved forward and has been created in spite of men, not because of them.
Right.
Because real strong men, the black and Latino man, the so-called Israelite man,
right,
has not been in that power. He's been subdued mm-hmm. and subverted right. by this social engineering, by this construct, right? Mm-hmm. Like in the Matrix, to be a battery.
Damn.
Like Lawrence Fishburne did. Like to fuel the world that was created in spite of us.
Yep. Right.
Because when the world was created, God said, man, you name these things. I give you dominion over all this stuff. Read on.
Verse 20. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him.
And he said that was not enough. So I'm not going into the aspect just yet of how he made the woman for him. When we go more into the episode where we deal with men and sex and relationships, mm-hmm. right, we'll delve more into that, right? We kind of did, I said, this episode's a setup for all of that. And we'll go into it as time permits and as I dissect it and break it down. I haven't read the whole book yet. I'm kind of going chapter by chapter for this stuff, right? So he says, our leaders have created a world in spite of men. That's that Psalms 83, mm-hmm. because they knew that it would affect us, right? Remember, it says that social engineering, that apotheosis is targeted at a certain group, right? A world that refuses to accept who men are and doesn't care what they want. And that gets translated to our women.
Oh, yeah. Especially our women.
Yeah, especially with our women.
Yep.
They refuse to accept who we are. Mm-hmm. They refuse to accept 1 Corinthians 11 and 3.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They refuse to accept what they read in Genesis.
Deuteronomy 22 and 5.
They refuse to accept all those things.
Yes, sir.
And it doesn't care what we want.
Right.
They're all about, well, what I want and what I'm going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I say women will not have their glory till men get their glory, I also said that you'll actually get things in this life and in this world when you do accept who men are
mm-hmm.
and you do embrace what they want. I did a class on the wives reverencing the husbands,
right.
and I played a little clip with the Edomite and Lassus. Didn't like that clip. A lot of some brothers didn't like that clip.
Well, this
brothers talking about I agree with my wife and there's harmony in the house.
Oh yeah, okay, that, yep,
bruh.
Yep, that brother.
It's paramount for the change, for the foundations of the courses of the earth to be put back together,
right.
and women start care about what men want,
right.
what your Israelite man wants and needs, and actually apply it,
mm-hmm.
and actually apply it, because then everything gets right, unless you want to support America and the world that was created in spite of men. And whether that feeling is in you or not, it's in you.
Right.
And what I mean is whether there's an awareness of it, if you don't care who we are and you refuse to accept it, if you don't care what we want, then you're part of that machine.
Yeah.
You're that battery that continues to maintain the matrix.
Yeah.
All right? Our world asks men to change for the better. And women love to try to change men.
Of course. Yeah.
Oh, well, I like this and this about him, so I can change this and that.
Right.
I can do this and that.
Right.
I know, so when my wife tells me, well, I chose you too, then why are you trying to change me?
Accept me for who I am.
Yeah, just accept me for who I am. Oh, you like this? Accept me for who I am. Damn, I lost my YouTube feed. I want to keep that up there. Here we go. I lost it for a second. Our world has men to change for the better, but offers men less of value to them than their fathers and grandfathers had. Change for the better, except the times that we have now. But there's no value in what they tell us to change into. There's no value in it. There's no profitability in it.
Mm-hmm.
The voices who speak for the future say that men must abandon their old way and find a new way. But what is that way and where does it lead? I'm using the book, but we're going to have strong yeah. emphasis, as you've seen. We brought out many scriptures today. We're going to be using the Bible as that main book. But I'm using this guy's book because he makes some very salient points. I write this book out of brotherly love for the young men out there who struggle because their fathers weren't willing, able, or present to help them answer the question, What does it mean to be a man? And that's where this episode, this series of episodes that we're going to be doing comes from, right? It's done out of brotherly love. It's done to bring something forth, right? This book is raw, real, and offensive, and it should threaten and challenge you. After all, being a man and facing the frontiers of survival, both literally and figuratively, is threatening. Sisters got to understand that, too. It is threatening for us as men. And as Black and Latino men, even more. You magnify that 10 times. We live in a world that is against us, that is not for us, where we are a target, not just by other races, but our own brothers and sisters. It's a hard thing that we deal with. And what you have, sisters, in a unique fashion, and what's always been the case historically, is that though the other nations hate you just like they hate us, they still want to sleep with you. They still want to lay with you and don't mind for you to be that bed wench for them.
Mm-hmm.
So you actually get some passing versus what men deal with, because just by the sheer fact that you're a woman.
Yep.
And because the zeitgeist of the times puts the pussy on a pedestal,
right,
regardless of what nationality or race that pussy is.
Right.
Men don't have that passing or that privilege.
No.
So you have to realize that we live in a threatening environment, but what we do and what we have not been taught is how to deal with those things that come at us in a spiritual and constructive way.
Mm-hmm.
We deal with them in a chaotic way. We deal with them in a destructive way. And we have the illusion that we think that that's strong behavior, but it's not.
Right.
It's not manly behavior. Right. So he says, if something in this book threatens you, then work through my arguments rationally.
Mm.
And I know that's hard for some sisters, right? Men deal in logic, right? Women deal in emotions, largely. And, I mean, some men are feminine and they deal in emotion as well, but we're a little more wired to deal with the logic and the rationality of things.
Right.
I'm jumping to the next highlight. At the end of the day, being a man is a functional task, meaning – it's not just, look at me, I'm a man.
Right.
There are actions that make you that.
Bring it out.
Right?
Show thyself a man.
Show thyself a man. That's the functional task. Let's read that again, because show is an actionable word.
Exactly.
Show thyself a man. Let's get that in Kings again and bring that out. You got it?
Yes, sir.
The book of 1 Kings, chapter 2 and verse 2.
Bring it out!
I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man.
And show thyself a man. Come on.
And keep the charge of the Lord thy God.
This is how it's functional. This is how being a man is functional. Come on. Did you skip that? There was more that I was going to read after that, not just the highlight. I think you moved on. Don't move on unless I tell you to move on. Come on. Go ahead.
To walk in all his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself.
So once you see that your Israelite man is doing these aspects of it, there's nothing that you need to do to try to affect further change. And what I mean is this. It doesn't mean that there's more functional things that we as men need to do and continue to do. Mm-hmm. What it means is you're not the one that's going to affect that change. Now it's in God's hand.
Right.
And that's where faith lies. Mm-hmm. I'll be so bold to say that a wife that cannot embrace that, despite her belief and her conviction that she is faithful, is not faithful.
Right. Bring it out.
Is not faithful. No, Ashaya, not now. Because we're almost towards the end of the show. So at the end of the day, being a man is a functional task. Things either work or they don't. Everything I give you in this book works in a practical sense. So I'll say everything that we're going to give you in the Bible works in a practical sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I back it up with working examples from history. And we have examples in the Bible of historically how it works.
Romans 15 and 4.
All right. I offer only results here, no feelings. So buckle up and please don't cry if I hurt your feelings. Next one. Come on. my heart is heavy with emotion to give you this manual of how to be a man. Unfortunately, the delivery systems of this information have been systematically destroyed over the years by cultural shifts, men of power, political correctness, women, and feminism. Mm. These are all things that have destroyed the strong man over the years. May this book serve as the father you never had to guide you to becoming a strong man. And when he says this book, I really mean this book.
Exactly.
All right, I'm talking about the Holy Bible.
Right.
I'm going to use this book as a reference because some people are able to, like kind of when you get a greeting card,
yeah,
they can kind of say what you've yet formed the words to
mm-hmm.
say.
Yeah.
And that's what I found in this book. And we're going to tie it into what the scriptures say. I also dedicate this book to young males everywhere, boys, men, strong men, and weak men, males of all types who wonder what a man is and who challenge modern ideas that purport to answer that question. You have to challenge this zeitgeist, this cult of personality, this apotheosis of what it really is to be a strong man. This is an increasingly difficult question to answer in the modern world. Today, people can effectively switch genders in the morning by changing clothes, hair, and makeup, or can even choose a different gender before kindergarten.
Wow. The hell is this?
That's a heavy challenge in this world.
Mm-hmm.
That's a heavy challenge. This is confusing, and I feel your frustration and confusion. If you have a penis and testicles, you are probably a man, or at least a male. You are explicitly not a woman.
That's right!
If you have a penis and testicles,
Frank and beans,
you are a male.
That's right.
And explicitly not a woman. And I would say in the reverse, if you have ovaries and a vagina,
right,
you are a woman, yep, not a man.
They seem to be confused these days.
Yes.
Very.
And if you're confused about that and what that role is and what that means, you're part of the problem.
Mm-hmm. Just look down.
But this is the men's stuff. Right? Like I said, women are going to have some overlap in this, and he explains it in a good way as to how the women will have overlap. Because you have a sister, this whole thing been about men,
right?
And you have a sister that'll hang on to four or five things I might have said about women.
Yep. You know they got selective hearing.
Right.
Yeah.
But there's a there's a togetherness in that, so it's
yep.
necessary that women are mentioned in this because it's not done in isolation.
That's true.
As Chuck Palahniuk said in Fight Club, sticking feathers up your butt does not make you a chicken. Right? Meaning just because you dress
right.
or you say you are
right.
don't mean you are. Next. What do we got? Is there more on this page? Or? Oh, yeah, there. Let me read that. Keep going. Why are we confused as men? Shouldn't being a man be simple and fundamental? In a united tribe with a well-defined identity, there's harmony between the interests of male groups. And answering the question, how to be a man, is simple. So, you know, when I read that, I saw that, I said, this is what makes us a united tribe, this Bible.
Yep.
And he says, when you're in this united tribe, all right, wait, where are you? Why are you doing that to me? I'll tell you when to move. You throw me off.
Man.
Gosh, come on. In a united tribe with a well-defined identity, that's this Bible.
Mm-hmm.
It's very plain and clear. There's no gray areas on how we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to behave, who plays what roles and to what capacity, in what esteem we're held to the Most High, what that order is. We read that in 1 Corinthians 11 and 3. It says, in a united tribe with a well-defined identity, there's harmony between the interests of male groups, right? That's that one accord. That's one mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's that endeavoring to keep the spirit of unity.
Yep.
And it creates a harmony between the interests of those male groups. And answering the question, how to be a man, is simple. So it really is simple once you embrace what the Bible tells you. In a large, sprawling super tribe made up of cosmopolitan, individualistic, fragmented civilization, meaning I can be what I want to yep. be. I can be who I want to be. I can be whatever identity I want to identify with.
Mm-hmm.
All right. With unlimited choices of unique identities, answering the question how to be a man is unclear. So in confusion and calamity, it becomes hard.
Right.
But in the simplicity of Christ, it becomes easy. But then you have all these stumbly blocks in what he brought out. So the ways of the rich and powerful men are mixed with the ways of gurus, ideologies, religions, and co-mingled with macho trinkets that how to be a man can mean anything, everything, or nothing at all. Add to this concoction the suggestions and improvements by women, and the question of how to be a man becomes an unreadable map to a junkyard of ideas. Meaning, when it comes on how to be a man, women shove up.
Exactly.
Shove up.
The hell are you going to tell a man how to be a man and you ain't no damn man?
You cannot. And that's not to say that there's sisters that don't know that.
Right.
Abigail knew what a real man was versus what she was married to.
Right.
But she didn't run and tell him that.
Right.
She didn't say, you're not doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You're not being the man right. That's not your role. That's another man's role.
That's right.
To show a man how to be a man.
Right.
That's the Bible's role to show the man how to be a man. Get me that in 1 Peter's about chase conversation. Because I don't want it to be that a woman say, oh, well, I can't. There's a way and a manner, just like Abigail spoke to Nabal, to tell your husband that maybe he's in danger of jeopardizing himself without trying to teach him how to be a man. And this is more being a support than it is anything else, all right? But a woman just adds confusion when you're trying to tell a man how to be a man. It doesn't work that way. 1 Peter's 3 and 1, right?
Yep, yes, 1 and 2.
Come on.
This is the book of 1 Peter's chapter 3 and verse 1.
Bring it out!
Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband.
You know what that shows? If you're supposed to be in subjection to your own husband, how are you going to show the man who's your head how to be a man?
Bring it out.
And I say this just as much for the men. Because, brothers, you got to stop letting these women. Man, I tell you, I knew a brother, my cousin, who he would, when I was first learning early in this, I didn't notice it right away because my mind was still coming out of this corrupt zeitgeist that was there.
The Matrix.
He would be bringing something out to me and then be like, hon, where's that scripture?
What?
Hon, where's that scripture? And she would get the precepts for him.
Wow.
Needless to say, that marriage wound up being super chaotic. It ended mm-hmm. in some real crazy stuff. She wound up with another dude, all types of madness and stuff like that. But it started with something as simple as that because he gave preeminence to her in
right.
that. And I understand not all of us are good at pulling precepts, but damn, use a concordance. I do if I can't find the damn thing.
Use your phone, man.
Use your phone and pull it up. But, yo, he would literally, my wife can attest to this, he would literally be there and be like, hey, hon, where's that scripture? A lot.
So she was
the hell is this? A lot. She would pull it and not realizing the subtleties in that.
Right.
And it don't mean it's just as good if you know your precepts.
Right.
Brother, don't be freaking giving that to her.
Right.
You freaking put yourself in a position. I'm not saying you got to be a precept master, but then use your own resources. Don't be like, hun, do it. That creates a spirit. That creates a vibe
exactly.
there that's out of order.
Exactly.
He need me.
It says they're supposed to be in subjection. So how can a woman that's supposed to be in subjection teach a man how to be a man? Some of you sisters... We see the letters, we see the stuff that you sent to us,
bruh.
And you're trying to take the place of what God and other men are supposed to do. And what that means is your faith is little if you feel like you have any type of power that you can go ahead and try to change a man and teach him how to be a man. That's
right.
not fit.
Right.
You deal with the little boys up to a certain point, but you cannot teach them how to be men.
Right.
You cannot teach them how to be men. The scripture says you should teach the other sisters how to behave, how to love their husband,
right.
that sort of stuff. Never says anything about you teaching men. Come on.
Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word.
Right, so whether they're complying to commandments or not, come on.
They also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives.
Right, so there's a way and a manner where if you wanted to give input that you can give it. Read the next verse.
While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear.
Right. Your chaste conversation doesn't just mean talking out of place, speaking loud, speaking derogatory. It means you speak like a woman and you speak the things that a woman is supposed to speak. Not more than that. Not anything else than that. Right. Now, I think we still got a few more minutes because we had the intros and stuff. So let's jump back to this. So it says, And so it's also add to this concoction. So as it is, the world is against us in every way. It's full of adversity for us. The suggestions and improvements by women and the question of how to be a man becomes an unreadable map to a junkyard of ideals. Next. The truth is not for all men, but only for those who seek it.
Bring it out.
That's heavy.
It's not for everybody. Not everybody can stomach it. Not everybody can digest it.
Right.
Right? But you have to seek it. Get me that. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read.
Yeah, 34.
Uh-huh. 16. Yes. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read.
I'll bring that.
And then is it in Baruch where he talks about, this is the book, The Issues of Life. Yep, I want that. The truth is not for all men, but only for those who seek it. Come on.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 34 and verse 16.
Read out.
Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read.
Right, that's where you seek the truth. That's where you seek how to be a strong man. That's where you seek the divine order. Come on.
No one of these shall fail.
See, so all these ideals, anything coming from the world, all right, those things will fail. None of what comes out of the Bible will fail you in your transformation back to what you're supposed to be. Come on.
None shall want her mate.
You can't really pair anything else with the scriptures. The scriptures is that baseline. It's that benchmark. Yes, we may use other references, but the end all be all is what the Bible says. That's come right. on.
For my mouth, it hath commanded.
Because God made it that way. Come on.
And his spirit, it hath gathered them.
Right. And his spirit have gathered them together. All these teachings, all these sayings that's in this scripture, it was gathered together in what we have as the Holy Bible. Is that it on that verse?
Yes, sir.
So it says the truth is not for all men, but only for those who seek it. Now let me get Baruch 4 and 1.
The book of Baruch, chapter 4.
Actually, start at 3 and 35.
The book of Baruch, chapter 3 and verse 35. This is our God, and there shall none other be accounted of him, of in comparison of him.
Right, so the God of Israel, he's our God. He belongs to us, the Israelites only. And it says there will be none other accounted in comparison of him. Read on.
He has found out all the way of knowledge.
God is all-knowing. All the ways of knowledge are with him. Come on.
And hath given it unto Jacob. His servant.
Giving it unto Jacob, his servant, to the Israelites. Come on.
And to Israel, his beloved.
Read.
Afterward did he show himself upon earth and converse with men.
Read on, chapter 4, verse 1.
This is the book of the commandments of God and the law that endures forever.
So it don't matter what now, what the time says, what the zeitgeist says. How it is to be a strong man was established from the foundation of the earth. So we're supposed to go by this. It endureth forever. Come on.
All they that keep it shall come to life.
That's what's going to quicken you. That's what's going to invigorate you. Come on.
But such as leave it shall die.
Read on.
Turn thee, O Jacob, and take hold of it. Walk in the presence of the light thereof, that thou mayest be illuminated.
So when it says turn and take hold of it, that's the same thing like what we read in Isaiah where it says seek ye out. So it says the truth is not for all men, but only for those who seek it. All right. I'll read this last paragraph, and then I'll leave it there for when we pick it up next episode. So it says, just as this book is for men and about men, it is specifically not about women. And this is the part that I want for the sisters, because like I said, he said it probably better than I could say it. If I mention women, it is only to define a man in relation to a woman. It's to make the comparison. So when I mention the sisters on these topics, it is to make those distinctions. Because though they're separate, they're also one in that when you come together as one flesh. So it's only to define a man in relation to a woman so that we can flesh out what a man truly is. We have to show those differences. We have to make those lines and show that, right? Men and women are two halves of a whole. That's biblical, right? We'll go back to that when we touch on it next week in Genesis, all right? So it makes sense to examine them together. But this is not a book about women. This is not a topic about women. This is not a class about women. If women are mentioned, it's in relation to flesh out what a man truly is to make that comparison because there is confusion in the earth. very subtly in many of us, all right? Wait, oh, let me finish the rest of that on women, and then I'll stop. Come on. Okay, I'm going to scroll down. He says, I do not intend to exclude women as an audience from this book. Women just simply are not the focus. Women have expressed interest in this book and will buy it for their men. Women want men, other women.
Mm-hmm.
That's the order. That's the way that the Most High set up our desires. And so women want men, not other women, as partners. And he's going to make a good point because some LGBTQ will jump on this, but he destroys it, all right? He says, I empathize with female emotions from this perspective because I want a woman, not another man, as my partner.
That's right.
So we can understand that too.
Right.
There is a polarity in the opposite gender. There is an attraction. So polarity is opposites attract. You've
right,
heard that before.
Right.
The world will take that to mean, oh, I'm a nice, sophisticated lady. I need a roughneck. Right. No. The opposite is already there.
Right.
The polarity is already
right.
there by you not having a penis and testicles.
Right.
All right? Women want men and men want women. They want the otherness, not the sameness. That's what we seek. We want the otherness, not the sameness.
Right.
So when you try to be a man, when you roll in the spirit of a man, that's why the Most High has the don't wear that which pertaineth to a man.
Right.
Likewise, the man not do the same thing. That's why these lines are drawn out.
Right.
That's why you have 1 Corinthians 11, because that's
right.
the right order that's set up. We want otherness, not the sameness. And if you think that the Momo thing goes for that, he's going to show you how that's also true in homosexuality.
It is.
This is even true for homosexual couples about wanting the otherness, where the masculine energy and feminine energy still exists between two men or two women. In gay circles, they call that the top or the bottom.
Damn.
There's
Damn.
A butch and there's a feminine.
Mm-hmm.
He says, even in homo relationships, there's an attraction to the otherness. To go to show you how out of course that is and that that's just a lust.
Mm-hmm.
Because you still seek otherness.
Well, you do.
In every homosexuality relationship, one is the dom, one is the submissive.
I've always
wondered
that's
why.
How it's set up.
Right.
That's how it's set up.
Don't want a man, but want a woman that look like a man.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. The otherness is endlessly attractive. You want that opposite.
Right.
That's why the brother at the beginning, bringing it full circle, he said, don't be afraid to be a man.
Right.
That's what women want. Though they may not confess it because their mind is so warped by all the confusion of the cosmopolitan, industrialized cult of personality,
right.
mass media,
Babylon.
Social engineering, Babylon the Great,
mm-hmm.
the other is endlessly attractive. This book is written by me, a man, for other men struggling with the idea of masculinity and manhood. As a female, you are certainly welcome to read this book. Come on. There's more down there. No, you skipped it. Go back. There was more at the bottom.
You just got to scroll. Change the
yeah,
page.
Yeah, just leave it pulled out. Just leave it pulled out. Yep. Okay. And you're welcome to read it, but I want you... this book is written by a man for other men struggling with the idea of masculinity and manhood. As a female, you are certainly welcome to read this book, but I want you to... I don't know if I put the next thing. Go ahead. But I want you to know that it is not designed for you and may not contain the message you want to read. So I have warned you. Right? So I'm going to warn you about this series of episodes we're doing, sisters. Please don't send me hate mail. I mean you no harm. My goal and the primary focus of this book, just like with these topics that I'll be going over, is to enhance men, to enhance our brothers. Ladies, buy this book for your men. Ladies, watch this if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Give it to a man if you wish to be stronger. Tell your husband to watch it. Tell him to check out the episode, all right? Or learn from it from yourself. So, because in seeing what a man really is, you'll maybe be able to identify how to be a better woman. You don't need to learn how to be a man, but perhaps defining what a man is will give you a better idea of what you really want. That attractiveness to that otherness. Men as a group are caught in a junkyard of ideals. All this confusion and noise in our heads and need lots of help right now to sort out the mess, the help of the Bible. Please offer these classes, I'll say, to the men in your life. And he says, if someone is able to show me that what I think or do is not right, I will happily change, for I seek the truth by which no one was ever truly harmed. The truth don't hurt nobody.
Mm-hmm.
They tell you the truth hurts, but that's from an emotional perspective.
Exactly.
but it don't make no wounds or nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
It is the person who continues in his self-deception and ignorance who is harmed. So I pray that as we continue through this series that I do and we continue to dissect this, I have many more pages for today. Please make note of where we stop, brothers, in case I forget, producers, because I know I have more stuff after this. Because we'll pick up with that, and I'll also have more to add as we do future episodes. Any closing thoughts, soldier officer?
Hey, sisters, brothers, hey, come back to God's divine order.
That's right.
I like when Captain said that. We need to come back to the divine order of the Most High God.
That's right. That's right. Hey, I pray y'all get some understanding, all right? We appreciate the continual support.
Cap, real quick.
Oh, you want to do the highlight? Okay.
Yes, we do.
So wait, before so let me just say my closing thoughts and then okay. You do that. All right. Thank you for reminding me, though. I was going to sign it off. Continue to like, share, support, subscribe, okay? It's much needed. We're still trying to grow the page, okay, and the presence. So with that, I will let the producer highlight the class of the week that you can look at. Oh, you changed it up?
Yeah, man, we had to change it up due to being in the spirit. The spirit had to flow.
Right. So if you had not seen, sisters, if you do want something that deal with you on how to be a better wife, how to be a proper woman in this truth, all right, you can watch this class, The Wife's Reverence and Subjection to Her Own Husband. The link will be shared. Okay. It's on the YouTube page. It's on the IUIC Phoenix YouTube page. All right. And I do have a second part where I focus a little more on the husband. But it's entirely focused on the woman piece.
That's right. There's part one and part two of this class. They had to be two parts.
Yeah. Hey, interesting little tidbit here. I had did this particular topic years ago when I first got here, maybe my second year here or whatever it was, and the audio was not recorded.
Yeah.
I said, damn, the women cursed it. They prayed and they cursed it.
Come on, man.
As such are the goings of men, it's of the Lord. I was able to wind up doing a two-parter on it, and I believe I probably expounded a little more than I did initially when I went over it. So so that's the highlight of the week, all right? All praises to the Most High. Don't forget the Saturday show. What are we doing, Spanish?
I'll get back to you on that.
Because we back.
It's English.
It's English.
It's English. English. All right, so Saturday exclusively on Facebook, we have the Power Hour, 1 hour, all right, hosted by the officers and soldiers, all right? So tune into that as well. And Lord's will, we catch you next Wednesday, all right? I'm going to have a special guest with me. I don't want to reveal it. It's a brother that's near and dear to me, okay? Lord's will, nothing changes, and he makes it out. And we'll have a guest with us to co-host the show as well, all right? So with that, I say shalom. Stay safe, Israel. Most High Christ bless.
Shalom.
Israel is back. We got the nations running. Israel is back. All lies on us. Because we keeping them low. When the Lord returns, Babylon will fall. Three steps solid. We got them on lock. God chosen people.